beautiful people, great Biafrans, wherever you are on the face of this very planet, we welcome you to an exciting edition, hopefully, of Radio Biafra Address, our live presentation from the Holy Land of Israel. I must apologize for our late coming because the enemies are at it once again. They are well-resourced and they are determined. They do not want the propagation of this very divine gospel on this hallowed platform of Radio Biafra. But we have overcome them because this gospel must be preached as mandated by Elohim Chukwukika Biamapurimihenine. I welcome you, and as I do so, I will encourage you to welcome those who are around you. The time here now is approximately 24 minutes past the top of the hour, and this is Radio Biafra. My name is Nnamdi Kanu. I am the leader of the indigenous people of Biafra by the grace of Elohim, not by man. Therefore, Biafra must come because we have suffered enough. We have been discriminated against enough. We have been humiliated enough. We have been disgraced enough that to the point where we no longer have men, we no longer have people who can rise and speak up except IPOB. That is why we must continue to preach this very gospel. We must continue to preach it. Because Chukwukika Biama have sent us on this very mission and we must accomplish it regardless of the price and regardless of the cost. Everything humanly possible will be sacrificed to ensure that Biafra comes as decreed by the Most High. This evening we've been disrupted, we have been interrupted, but I do hope that my deputy HMFO is working tirelessly hard to ensure we overcome this technical glitch. Therefore, can I go ahead to announce that we are on Radio Biafra Live? Is that confirmed that we're live on Radio Biafra page? We are on Radio Biafra Facebook page. We are also live on my page, Mazen Nnamdi Kanu. Make sure you're on the right one because I know our enemies are very good at duplicating anything that we are doing in order to confuse the gullible. But we know the hardcore are determined and we must proceed. Before we do so, we must hand over our proceedings to Chukwukika Biama. Without whom and in whom we repose every ounce of our essence and our being, that his grace will continue to guide us along this very tortuous and treacherous journey, that in the end that Biafra may become emancipated. We must pray. And this evening, I will pray the prayer of David. I will pray Psalm 6 before we commence our broadcast this evening. And I will pray in English that the world may understand, including those who are very close to Chief Justice Onoghen, that the Fulani Islamic cabal are angling very hard to remove from office. After this broadcast this evening, everybody from Cross River, from Akwa Ibom, you will recognize this very inescapable fact. That our suffering is against you. Only Biafra can save you. I told you to Stonogen. It has happened. They don't want him there. They want INEC to be controlled by our Fulani. They want the Justice Department to be Fulani. Army Fulani. Police Fulani. Customs Fulani. Defense Chief Fulani. Everything Fulanized. Everything is Fulani. Anybody from Efik, from Ibibio, from Anang, from Oron, if you rise up against Biafra after what they have done to Onoghen, then I will know that you're not deserving to be called a human being. Some people from the Yoruba land want the presidency because of that, they will not speak up against evil. But there are a few honorable, noble Yoruba men that will continue to speak. And they will continue to have my regard, my respect, and my support. Because evil is evil. I do not want to get ahead of myself. Let you go, Kikabiyama, take control. O Elohim, rebuke us not in your anger, neither chasten us in thy hot displeasure. Ekwekwala ki iwe iwe gabigo kenebo moge no chineke nanki iwe. Kamsu asusu eli iwe. Onye puru mi hieni ine. Onye anyi nefewe na boko ahan soya. Chineke nanki eli. Chineke nanka arodi. Chineke nanka areli. Onye na degide maru mbe bigibi. Ndibo netuge bigibi ni hini Ancient of Days. Na ro tuto na nsopro na ejama. Na rekele, na nambuli elu, na rekwisi ala nka anyi na enyeri. Anyi na ewere njema nka anyi onwa anyi na aganu uhuru chia we nye fere na aka aki we tinya anyi ezi oku nke gi ni ime. Ka olu aka gi we puti nye bane li gwe mane lo wani hina anyi mego nyosa mwa boge na anegi. Mama delegi china kenda nki igwe. Mama Drigo Nyekreli, please have mercy upon us, Elohim, for we are weak. Come and heal your land, which is Biafra, for our bones are vexed. The enemies are everywhere. They are arresting, they are molesting. They are killing and they are detaining without trial. Your children are living under a fascist system that does not recognize the value of human life. Return to us, Chineke nanke prumi yanine. Deliver Biafra. Save IPOB for the sake of your mercy. For if you kill all of us, who is going to remember your name in the darkest continent that is Africa? Your light will be diminished. Your blessing upon the house of God will be gone forever. And your promise to Eri will not be fulfilled. Because in the grave there is none that can praise thee. None can give thee thanks. For we are weary with our suffering and our groaning. Every night we dream tortuous dreams, and we swim in our own sweat. Tears fill our eyes because of what the enemies are doing to your children. Our soul, our heart is consumed with grief. Because of our enemies, we have grown old in our youth. Therefore, all workers of iniquity must depart from Biafra. For Elohim, this very night, has heard our supplication. He has heard our cry. And this prayer this evening from the Holy Land of Israel to the whole world shall be received in the presence of the Almighty. All the enemies of Biafra will be ashamed. All our enemies will be ashamed. They will fall, never to rise anymore. They will grope in the dark like the blind, and the rage of heaven shall descend upon all of them. That your will, O Elohim, Chukwokika Biama, will be done in our lifetime. That your name be exalted, praised, adored, and worshipped forever and ever, we pray. Ise, Ise, Ise. Ikechukwu is with me here in the studio. And as I said earlier, we are going to be interactive. I hope you have all the details for the contact of the studio here in Israel. I will take your questions. Any question you put to me, I will answer it. If you want to debate me, you are welcome to do so. I will not hide nor run away from any question. I am not Jibril. My name is Nnamdi Kanu. Buhari is dead. They can pretend all they like, but it has become very apparent that the reason why the Yoruba media will not talk about the impostor in Aso Rock is because they are waiting for the presidency. Everything is about oil and gas. Who occupies the high office? Who can give us more money? That is all they are concerned about. But we are pursuing something far more noble, something far more righteous, something that every right-thinking person ought to identify with. But IPOB is here. I cannot praise IPOB enough. It is a unique privilege. If you find yourself in IPOB, you are indeed a child of the Most High Chukwuka Abiamah. You are a child of light. You have come to bring progress. You have come to bring the finest kind of blessing upon our people. You are indeed a gift from heaven. Never you forget that. That IPOB is exceptionally special. That is why when we are gone, there will be nobody like us. Never, ever, ever. And that is why Elohim has determined that Biafra shall come in our time. We must proceed. The time now is about 25 minutes to 8 p.m. here in Israel. And this is my address to the entirety of humanity on this very day, the 12th of January, in the year of Chukwuka Abiamah 2019. My fellow good citizens of Biafra, my fellow compatriots, my fellow hardcore IPOB, I bring you greetings from Israel. Today's broadcast will be on characteristically very brief, and we shall deal directly with Governor Dave Umahi's false but very weighty allegation that APOB is plotting to kidnap the five useless governors of Southeast, plus his claim that Ebonyi is not part of Biafra. I will also be addressing the issue of our election boycott stance and why we must follow everything that IPOB commands us to do. It is on record that several newspaper publications of the last weekend quoted Dave Umahi as saying, this is a direct quote from him, just a few days back, they sent text message to my wife that the five governors of Southeast would be kidnapped and that IPOB security would overpower those governors and demand ransom payment from them. They would then kill them and kill themselves. This is what Dave Umahi said, thereby trying to justify Operation Python Dance. I don't know if it is the 50th one or the 70th one. I have no idea. This is Dave Umahi, a governor in Igbo land, trying to justify the killing of his own people. This is Dave Umahi trying to justify the arrest, kidnap, detention, and torture of Justice Uday and the rest that they have managed to abduct. Now, as any right-thinking person reading the above claim from Umahi will see for what it is, it is a barefaced lie from a man who made his life before he became governor from duping and lying to people. This is a man that has long sold his conscience and his people in the vain hope that this discredited Jubril-led APC cabal he serves will support him to run for the presidency of the damnable Zoological Republic in 2023. This, unfortunately, is the sum of the political worth of any Igbo Biafran politician who finds himself fortunate enough to be elected into the position of the governor of any of our states. They don't go there to serve you. They go there to feather their nests, to sell us down the river, and hopefully become a vice president. They don't have our interest at heart, and they will never love us. Once they're elected into office, they set their very tiny minds on becoming the vice president of Nigeria. There is no other reasonable motivation or explanation as to why Dave Umahi, like his now disgraced and abandoned counterpart in Imo, Rochas Okorocha, have, since coming into office, demonstrated his proclivity. Demonstrated his character towards sabotaging anything Biafra, as Okorocha did, and sabotaging every effort made by IPOB to emancipate our people from the bondage we are being forced to endure in Nigeria. That Dave Umahi had resorted to bandying unfounded accusations against a universally acknowledged non-violent movement goes to demonstrate a new low in Umahi's hate and betrayal of his own people. All for his hopeless ambition that the APC Fulani cabal he serves its interest will somehow foolishly grant him presidency in 2023 at the IRC boasted to Pastor Emma Obai. If you doubt what I'm saying, ask Pastor Emma Obai. You know him, he's a very popular preacher. He's a man of God. Go and ask him. Did Dave Umahi confide in you that Jubril and Asorok Cabal promised him that he will be the president come 2023? That is why he's in PDP, working for a very murderous APC regime. Unbelievable. Because they have no honor and they have no shame. This is pathetic. If the Fulani cabal and some of their Yoruba sidekicks did not find it in their good conscience to trust the revered Dr. Nnamdi Azikiwe with the presidency of Nigeria, or allow their loyal, unblemished servant, who incidentally formed PDP, Dr. Alex Ekwueme, the right to contest for that position, what planet is Dave Umahi living on to assume that Fulani will give the presidency to him? Zeke fought more than anybody else to keep Nigeria one. Ekwueme did the same thing. They overlooked those two grandees, intelligent, well-educated men that meant also well for Nigeria. How about you, a former 419er? You think Fulani will trust you with the presidency? That is why you invite the army to kill your own people. And on top of that, you go about fabricating arrant nonsense against the peace-loving IPOB. A man with no record of any notable public stewardship or service to his people will always see groveling and subservience to the primitively uncultured Fulani cabal as the only way to advance his hitherto non-remarkable political ambitions. Like Martin Elechi before him, who incidentally handed power over to him about 4 years ago. The anti-Biafra he is now espousing in the hope of endearing himself to the caliphate may have worked for Martin Elechi, who worked hand in hand with the notorious and treacherous Obiasika, who was only rewarded with the administration of the defunct East Central State immediately after the war because of the excellent saboteur work that he did to undermine Biafra from his base in Yoruba land when he was a lecturer at the University of Ibadan. There is now a tradition that these so-called politicians follow. A few Igbo men publicly betraying Biafra, either in their utterances or on the pages of newspapers, is a well-trodden path that comes with political reward. If you betray your people, Fulani will reward you. That is what they have done. Just name them. Just name each and every one of them before you are considered for any lucrative contract or for any political position. You must be a traitor against your own people. They come to us and they want us to call them intellectuals and elite intelligentsia. They are a bunch of slaves groveling at the feet of Fulani men who are not educated enough to be their own gardeners. Not educated enough. But you see them begging for crumbs from the master's table because they do not believe in themselves, because they believe that treachery and betrayal pays. But Dave Umahi is in for a shock. A very big shock. Ever since Obiasika's betrayal of his people, since that betrayal proved successful and conveyed this impression to our people that betrayal pays, countless traitors have benefited and continue to benefit from this shameful arrangement because there are no consequences or sanctions for their actions. This is the inglorious company Dave Umahi, Okezi Ikpeazu, Nnewodo, Rochas Okorocha, Toeze, and many other boot-licking, self-deprecating Igbo quislings domiciled in Lagos and Abuja are seeking to join. Anybody who is against the freedom of our people is a treacherous Fulani slave. All of them. All of them. Up to and including Soludo. I give you names and I give you instances. Do you know that Professor Soludo is working with Obiano to re-elect Jibril? Are you aware of that? They are the so-called Igbo intelligentsia. But a Fulani girl selling Fura Dununu is more politically savvy than them. They don't know anything. They feel that by betraying their own people, their own brother, somehow they will climb this ladder of success to becoming a vice president in the zoo called Nigeria. If you know what these men are doing behind our backs, believe you me, you will hang yourselves. They are a disgrace, not just to themselves, not just to their parents, but to the entire Biafran people and the Igbo race in particular. I am telling you, go and investigate all of them and see what they're doing because of money. We can all see what the recent advertised visit of Ohanaeze youths, Umuaka, they trained them very young, has washed to betray their people. To betray their people, that is their stock in trade. They have been doing it since 1970 till now. After one Ohanaeze group, another one will take over. Now they're even grooming the tiny ones. Showing them how to betray, how to serve Fulani. They wore Isiago to go and see Jibril, a man from Sudan. Unbelievable. Tomorrow they will make them a minister, or they give them one other useless position. The idiot will come to the village and tell you that he's an Igbo elite. Do you see how they climb their own ladder of elitism? You fall down before a very filthy Alhaji, bedecked with Arabian oil perfume, who can barely read and write. Submit yourself to him and you get what you want, as befitting a slave. That is what your so-called Igbo leaders are doing in Abuja and in Lagos. That is why, even in retirement, they decide to reside in Lagos or Abuja. Ask yourselves this question this evening. How many Yoruba elders live in Biafra land? How many Fulani or how many Hausa live in Biafra land after their retirement age? It is only our people that believe that by living in Abuja or Lagos, they can remain relevant, because they are slaves to their masters. When their masters come, they go crawling. Now you understand the mess we are in. You understand why they want us to vote. You understand why they attack anything to do with Biafra. Because they don't want their slavish past exposed. Because their masters threaten them that any of them found supporting anything that will bring a semblance of relief to the long-suffering people of Biafra, their secret will be exposed. That is why behind your back they say, oh, we want to do something, but, you know, omakesi emia. Ohaneze youths went to see Jibril in Nassau Rock. Despite what this administration have done to our people, the killings at Umpo, the killings in Aba, Iguocha, Mbama River, in Bayelsa, the countless torture, detention, illegal arrest without trial that we are facing, those shot to death during Trump rally at Iguocha, these children decided to go to the same person responsible for killing their people to beg for money. And they were given money, 5 million naira. Who sent them? Oh, Hanesa, their father sent them. Niyamod Hanko sent them. They have no shame, they have no honor. Even Niyamod can kneel down before Bola Ahmed Tinubu to beg for office. What wouldn't they do? And I'm very happy that our people have now shunned Niyamod. They have seen him for what he is. He is a nobody. Look at the children he's bringing up. Look at the children he is bringing up and their attitude towards their own people. Everything is to sabotage. Everything should be sold. No conscience. No honor. No dignity. After the genocidal massacre of our people at Umpo, Aba, Onitsha in recent years, they still found or had the temerity to go and see Jibril. They have no conscience. As small as they are, they have no conscience. Imagine what they will do when they grow old. They will be worse than Atoeze. Worse than Atoeze. I remember what we used to listen to in those days when I was at SBS in Iguocha, School of Basic Studies. That's a song they used to play then, an intro, kind of a jingle on anybody, if you're old enough to know, Radio Reverse 2 FM Stereo, the finest radio station then in the whole world. They said a cricket will be burning and they'll be saying, see how beautiful the body looks because of the oil all over the body. You don't know the damn thing is roasting to death. That is what Ohaneze and the baby saboteurs they are grooming have done to our people, including the governors. They have destroyed our people completely. These Ohanaeze children, there is a saying where we come from. You know, the baby goat always looks at the mother goat to see how the mother goat is chewing and then learns. If the mother goat goes to the yam, to the barn to go and eat the yam, the baby goat will follow as well. That is what is happening in Ohanaeze. Ohanaeze and Igbo have taught their children that the quickest route to political relevance for any Igbo man is to go and kneel in front of an alhaji. Now you understand why they want to kill me. Because I refused to join them. I will not diminish nor debase my Biafran essence by kneeling and bowing before people who I should have been in the same country with in the first place. Ohanaeze and Igbo and Igbo governors will kneel before Fulani people. Not IPOB. They will do anything for money and influence, which sadly translates to how they see others. People like us, who are genuinely fighting to set our people free. You know, in the warped minds of these discredited politicians like Dave Umahi and Nyamwodo, in their rather very twisted way of reasoning, they think because they are shamelessly ambitious and will do anything to gain relevance in Nigeria, that I am somehow like them. I am fighting for Biafra, not for the zoo. How mistaken they are. Recall that it was Umahi Okezipas and Nyanwood, ever so envious of the rising profile of IPOB, that fired the first salvo on the proscription of IPOB, which Umahi incidentally admitted. Umahi led the way to that infamy before his other Southeast governors, his colleagues, joined him. Umahi was later to pressure the Nigerian government to proscribe IPOB and declare it a terrorist organization. This is by his own admission. It was Umahi who also led the shameless and very perfidious pack of Southeast governors to acquiesce in the September 2017 invasion of Igbo land, all in the name of some Python dance. Put very simply, it was Dave Umahi, in his capacity as the chair of the Southeast Governors Forum, that sanctioned the cold-blooded execution of Biafrans as a result of that very illegal invasion of Biafra land by the Fulani-dominated Nigerian army. By sanctioning the military invasion of my home, Dave Umahi Okezipazu Nyamwodo signed my death warrant. They wanted me dead. And we lost 28 men in the process. Never forget that. We lost 28 men. Don't forget. Only in my compound alone. And many more killed and dumped in a borrow pit in Okwa. They think we have forgotten. We can never, ever forget or forgive for what they did to our people, for what they have continued to do to our people. We cannot. We cannot allow this ravenous, shameless breed of politicians to continue to dominate our lives any longer. Because of their proximity to their Fulani masters. Dave Umahi, Okezipazu, and the other governors, they have no credibility in our land. That is why they always run to Fulani people to help them. If you claim the people love you, you represent your people, you are an Igbo politician, you represent your people. Why don't you allow your people to save you? Why don't you call upon our people defend you if you feel your life is threatened? It's because you have something to hide. They are exploiting the poverty in the land to try and hoodwink our people into voting them back into power when they know they have no right to be there. By now, I would have been dead. And so with it, this phase of our agitation, had they succeeded in killing me. Any time you think about Dave Umahi, you think about Okezie Ikpeazu, you think about Onnea Nwodo, you think about Obiano, always remember that they came to kill me. They asked the Fulani to do the dirty work for them. To come to kill as many IPOB family members as possible. And tomorrow they run to Yoruba newspapers to tell them that they are the elite and they are leading their people. Whilst behind their backs, the Fulani are laughing at them. These are those that some people want us to regard as our leaders. If anybody should be accused of kidnapping and murder, it is Dave Umahi and his fellow Fulani serving traitors, not IPOB. Dave Umahi, Okezie Ikpeazu and Ohanaeze leadership that wanted me killed and IPOB crushed. What did we do, I ask? Did we kill anybody? We repaired roads. We helped those who were not able to help themselves. We gave our people a sense of direction and of hope. Why is it that nobody is asking all these Southeast governors why they wanted to kill Nnamdi Kanu and why they wanted IPOB out of the way? It's because it's what their Fulani masters are telling them to do. The Fulani made them. Fulani gave them their contracts, their money, elevated them, promoted them, gave them appointments. So they must always be subservient to the Fulani caliphate. Some of our people don't know the level of the mess we are in. People don't have any clue or any idea. But I'm sure it manifests when you walk about our towns and our villages. It's very obvious that we are in one almighty mess as a people, which IPOB, of course, is seeking to correct. Dave Umahi, Okezie Ikpeazu and leadership cannot crush IPOB and they cannot kill me. Many times they boasted about having successfully crushed IPOB, but thankfully, Chukwu Okikabem never allowed them to succeed. We continue to hold the present crop of Igbo governors and Nnea Nwodo primarily responsible for the ongoing arrests, torture, abductions, murder, and illegal detention of Biafrans. We are holding you responsible. I have said it before and I'll say it again. If any Biafran should fall in this very process, then you will understand how serious we are. Ask those that know, they know. It's not anything that I'll tell you live on air, but our enemies, they understand how we react when they provoke us. Accusing someone in a group of plotting high-profile kidnapping on a grand scale, as alleged by Umahi, is a very serious business, as it is not only capable of igniting lethal violence from the zoo security agencies intent on subduing IPOB, it is giving them license to kill innocent Biafrans once again. Umahi knows this, which is why he levied his accusations publicly and noisily, hoping to stoke another round of state terrorism against IPOB. I have warned him before and I'll warn him again. If anything should happen to any of our men, our people are hereby placed on notice. Whatever they see, they should blame Umahi and go for it. Umahi will face the consequences of his actions on a scale that will astound many. They will never be forgiven. As simple as that. One day Fulani will go and leave our land, regardless of anything you may try to do. To the contrary, Biafra will be free. Now to Umahi's other foolish self-serving claim that Ebonyi is not part of Biafra, I say to him this: you can dream on all you like. You specialized in 419 before you came into governance. So perhaps you are not a very good student of history. But allow me to remind you and refresh your memory. You remember a particular man named Dr. Akanu Ibiam. I recommend, in fact, I highly suggest that you read his autobiography, if you haven't read it already. Go and read it. From there, you will begin to understand that Ebonyi is an integral part of Biafra. Some of your predecessors may have conspired to hive off three local governments to Benue, but they shall all return to the fold of this very family. You claim you love Igbo people. You claim you are serving Igbo people. But you and your predecessors superintended the carving out of Igbo land into Benue. Or you will claim ignorance of this very fact, as you do always. Ebonyi was an integral and important part of Biafra from when it was the eastern region to when Biafra became a sovereign state in 1967. Ebonyi remains part of Biafra to this very day and even lies in the heartland of Biafra, as a matter of fact. If Omahi doubts this, let him conduct an opinion poll in his state. He will be shocked that every person in Ebonyi is a Biafran to the core, and they have, through their identification with IPOB ideals, freed themselves from the mental slavery that continues to plague Omahi just because he happens to be a governor in a Nigerian nation that is damaged enough to produce the dysfunctional politician like him. If by uttering this sacrilegious nonsense Omahi hopes to gain Fulani acceptability in 2023, then he is misguided and naive. He should look carefully at another Fulani slave, Fulani-born slave, Rocha Sokorocha, to see how the North dealt with the Igbo traitor that's betrayed his own people. Ordinary Oshomole from Edo, not even a Fulani man, disgraced him and humiliated him publicly. As I told some of you many years ago, you serve the zoo, you come back in disgrace. The same thing is happening to Onogun tonight. Boys, they want to dominate. Oh, leave Cross River out of Biafra. You want to dominate us. Now that Fulani have removed Onogun, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. Because the only people that can fight for you, all of us together as Biafra, Fulani have cleverly removed you from that mindset, from that group of people that could have done something to save you. The lessons they should have learned from the case of Ken Sarawiwa is still not sinking in. The same people that claimed they loved Ken Sarawiwa so much, who love Ogoni people, are the same people that killed him. Not an Igbo man. But they will never learn. Never ever learn. I wonder. A few years back, all of you remember, the talk of the town was Awosa Fulani's favorite son in Imbo State Government House, which is Okorocha, becoming the president of Nigeria. Now, what has become of him today? Dave Omahi must ask himself this question. Serving Fulani will only bring you shame and humiliation. Not only has Rogers Okorocha not been disgraced of the leadership of his party, he has been rendered politically irrelevant by a non-entity like Oshomole. This is the fate actually that awaits every traitor. You will all come back in disgrace. Omahi and his fellow Fulani slaves never invited the army to tackle the menace of Fulani headsmen, still ravaging most of our communities till today. I am firmly convinced that the orchestrated clampdown on IPOB is a way for Igbo governors to clear the way for Fulani cows to graze on our farmlands. For most of our parents, farming is the only means of livelihood. After Obafemi Awolowo took all our money, deposited in the bank after the war. The question you must ask yourselves tonight, in case we get ready to play that very clip for me, the question we have to ask tonight is, why is it that Omahi, Ikpeazu, Obiano Ohaneze, and the rest of the pontificating Lagos Abuja-based traitors, why did you not invite the army to stop the massacre at Nimbo? Enugu State was under siege by Fulani men. You were calling everybody, they refused your calls. Ask Ifan Yuguani, he will tell you. Then, you did not stop Fulani herdsmen from coming in, destroying our farms and killing us and raping our mothers. But you want the army to kill IPOB. Now, let us ask this, what did IPOB do to you? Because we are defending our land against Fulani herdsmen. Please, let us remind the world what is happening in Biafra land today. We want to hear the voice of this, our mother. Are you ready? Please go ahead.
Nema, good morning.
Morning, Namu.
Ogi kile bela akwa.
Ana na bela akwa eke usa yanu. Ime ni nemu kona egu no la le ni. Eke usa yanu ike ni nago. Ado.
Nde ba mama.
Ado mumbo mali anaji. Ado mumbo mali anaji. Ima lagi mali na ikoro ni. Ewa shika ije chida mane ama kile go na kile unmo.
Mama,
nah.
Uncle is done. Maybe I could Google what she was doing.
Abu Abanka, Uncle Abu is Abu Abu Abu.
Men have been destroying their crops, whatever they have cultivating, planning men.
I'm sure you heard our mother crying and lamenting about it. I want all our admin to make sure that that very video clip goes viral. Her name is Mrs. Nnaji, so she's not hiding. If you want her to testify before anybody, I'm saying this for the benefit of Yoruba journalists and media, because they are experts at turning the truth upside down. Do you see what we are suffering? Do you know the reason why Fulani herdsmen succeeded in penetrating our land to destroy our crops? It's because Dave Umahi asked Fulani soldiers to come to clear the path for them. So if we come out to confront Fulani herdsmen, they will kill us and say we are terrorists. This is happening in our land. And some idiots are preoccupied with writing rubbish on social media. Instead of us to ask ourselves very pertinent questions, why are all these things happening to our people? Why is it that those we have elected into public office to serve our interests have somehow turned around to connive with our enemies to destroy us, to destroy our means of livelihood, to make us subservient to Fulani people, when the reason why we elected them in the first place is to protect us? Dave Umahi and Okezie Igbazu cannot answer this very question. Will any restitution be paid to this very woman? The answer is no. The livelihood destroyed. Maybe, perhaps out of desperation, the son will try to go to Europe. On foot, of course, through the Sahara Desert. And heaven forbid, he might die in the process. And nobody cares. Nobody gives a damn about what is happening to our people. The only people that care enough to ask questions and working tirelessly hard to redress all these anomalies imposed by traitors. What do we get in return? The same governors invite the army to come and kill us. And people are talking about elections, talking about voting somebody like Okezie Igbazu back into office, or Dave Umahi for that matter, back into office. We are going to give them hell. We are, I assure you. Because we said we're not going to vote doesn't mean we cannot mobilize to have you voted out of office. That's what's going to happen in Abia. We can make the exception. Because perhaps if we keep quiet all the time, they think, oh, since they're not going to vote, I mean, does it really matter? They will have a very special program for Abia and also Feboyi. They will find it difficult. I'm telling you. Nobody's asking. I feel very, very sad this evening. They have not proscribed Fulani herdsmen that invaded our land with their cattle and AK-47, destroyed our crops, raped our mothers, and killed our fathers in our farms. Can somebody please tell me the logic in that? Have you ever heard an Igbo governor rise up to speak or condemn Fulani herdsmen activities in our land? The answer is no. The day our people can wake up to reason well enough to understand the damage the likes of Umahi is doing to our people, the sooner it is better for us to get rid of them from the corridors of power. Mrs. Nnaji's lamentation is a reminder of what our mothers, who depend on farm produce for sustenance, is passing through at the hands of Igbo governors. I don't blame the headsmen, I blame the Igbo governors. Fulani headsmen with their cattle destroyed every crop in her farm with no hope of compensation. Instead of the army to go after the armed bandits who are their own people, incidentally, Umahi and his fellow Igbo governors are preoccupied with their Nigerian army friends on how best to arrest and kill IPOB family members. In the meantime, Fulani headsmen continue to destroy, pillage, kill, while Efulefus are preoccupied with writing nonsense against IPOB, advising us when they should be advising their useless governors to do something about the rampaging Fulani headsmen in our land. We checkmated them. IPOB stopped Fulani headsmen. Now the army have come again, and they have resurfaced because the nearest army barracks will rush to their rescue. Or should I say, come to their rescue when they commence their attack. Why is it that people cannot reason? Why can't we reason as a people? They thought by running down my name, they could create problems for IPOB. That is something they keep saying all the time that I've been informed in the past few days. That I entered into agreement with and I reneged on it. But the truth is that their plan was to use me and I refused to be part of their nonsense. Okezie Ikpeazu had the temerity to say that I don't keep to agreements, but he forgot that I have never met him in my life before. Talk less of agreeing anything with him. I have never met Okezie Ikpeazu before. He lives about, say, 1,000 meters from my house. That's where the government house is. I've never met him before in my entire life. I don't know who he is. I have never met him. Tonight, I want to put to bed this perverse notion that I don't keep to agreements. When I left prison, Kuje prison, the first people I met were Southeast Senate caucus. They hosted me to a dinner at the residence of the Deputy Senate President, T.K. Kweremadu. I graciously accepted the invitation out of respect for the role some of them played in calling for my release from detention and the fact that Senator Baribe stood shorty for me. At that gathering, I was advised to keep a low profile and not to do anything to jeopardize the well-being of those who were still in detention. This was an advice, not an agreement, as some of them would have you believe. It was an advice I felt, in all clear conscience, I couldn't keep because I felt that restricting my God-given rights to free speech and assembly was not something I was going to sacrifice for the sake of appearing to be an obedient, good Nigerian. They forgot that I'm not Rafa Wazrike, and I was determined that IPOB will never go the way of MASOP. I was never going to let Biafrans down or allow myself or the great IPOB which I lead to become a toy for politicians as MASOP has become. My bail conditions were a cleverly constructed trap designed to weaken and destabilize IPOB, which sadly had the imprint of internal Igbo political meddling. Had I maintained radio silence as was expected of me, people would think that I had compromised the struggle and not a man of my words. When I was asked not to speak during my court appearances, I broke that very protocol and I addressed the media. Nobody can stop me from talking. Nobody can stop me from speaking. That will never ever happen. I met Southeast governors on around late August, early September of 2017, before they decided to send soldiers to kill me on the 14th of September of that same year. Those those that attended that very meeting will confirm that I never reached any agreement with anybody present at that very meeting to lift the Anambra election boycott. I made it clear to Dave Umahi, who incidentally was chairing the meeting, and all those present at Enugu Government House, that Abuja, I made it very clear that Aso Rock must make concessions to our demands before I call off the boycott. If I reached an agreement with them to call off the boycott, then why did they send the soldiers to come and kill me barely 2 weeks afterwards, when Anambra elections was to hold in November of that same year? You can see that this accusation is baseless and false, like so many of their unfounded lies against me. On the issue of Nyamudu, most people do not know that I visited his home twice. The first time he was in the USA, I spoke to him on the phone, and we agreed to meet upon his return. When he returned, I went to see him. We had lunch together in his house and agreed that I will continue the agitation for Biafra while they continue to engage with the government to see what can be done to address the underlying causes of our agitation. I made it clear to him that I will not lift the boycott unless my demands are met by the government. He promised to do the best he can and get back to me, which he never did. The limited attempt by the ZOO Vice President Yemi Osinbajo to reach IPOB was truncated by Ogahanaeze and Igbo governors, because I made it very clear from the onset that nobody will negotiate for IPOB. I refused for them to negotiate for IPOB. They went back and tagged us. They tagged us terrorists, but first by banning all our activities. But they know they cannot stop us, because till today we are still evangelizing, today we are still gathering, till today we are still rallying, because Biafra is our land. Once they realized that I wasn't going to move from my position, the hatred against me and IPOB was intensified. They started to gossip with my name all over the place. They started to plant very subtle stories in the media that I don't stick to agreements. And I kept asking them, which agreement did I reach with you, and where did I reach this agreement with you? They know I have no intention of breaking my vows to my people. And if me sticking to my pledge to serve the best interest of Biafra means that I'm a man that doesn't keep to agreements, then so be it. Because Biafra for me comes first. Some of you will remember when I did a broadcast and I said that I will sacrifice everything sacrificable to make sure that Biafra comes. And I have done it. My family and my parents. I will sacrifice more to ensure that Biafra comes. People must understand this about me. Biafra is the only thing that is important to me. Everything else is irrelevant. I repeat, the only thing important to me in life is Biafra. Everything else is immaterial, including my own life, for your information. It is this sort of nonsense coming from shifty characters like Umahi that helps strengthen IPOB's determination to boycott the 2019 general elections. But it does appear that our non-participation, on the other hand, has emboldened the likes of Umahi and other traitors to keep destroying what is left for our land. That is why an exception must be made in Abia and in Ebonyi. We must make an example of these people to tell them that power belongs to IPOB. How we're going to do that, I will let you know as time goes by. IPOB is not backing down on the boycott. The presidential elections will be boycotted so that the world may know that we are in charge of our land, that our people are yearning for freedom, that our people want to be free from the shackles of oppression and subjugation by the Nigerian state. Nobody loves us. They can never love us. They don't love the Igbo people. They don't love Afix. They don't love Indies. Nothing. Nobody cares about you. If you don't care about yourself, nobody will care about you. If you doubt me, look at what is happening to the Chief Justice of the Federation. Onoghen is in very serious trouble because Fulanis don't want him, and there is nothing anybody can do about it. The same way we are all impotent, there are holding Dasuki. Despite court pronouncements, they are holding El Zagzagi. Despite court pronouncements, because there is no moral fiber in Nigeria. The entire system is corrupt. All Yoruba media is interested in is for the president to come back to Yoruba land so that Tinubu can become the president in 2023. That's all that matters to them. They don't care. They don't know what democracy is all about. They have no idea what democracy is all about. In the past few years, I think IPOB has proven that there are other centers of influence and power in the southeast and parts of south-south, and they know that very well. And as the success of our sit-at-home orders have demonstrated, we constitute the core of that power and influence and intend to deploy it responsibly to the protection of the long-term interests of our people by accelerating the coming of Biafra through a referendum or otherwise. So this current path we have chosen, the path of boycotting the 2019 elections, is a well-considered one geared to leaving no one in doubt that we mean business. We know that some of our people are wondering what IPOB expects to gain when it refuses to participate in elections. That is why we are going to have our lines open in a short while, so we can debate this very issue. I can answer all your questions. You know I never run away from any debate. Those that know me, I never do. I never do. If you defeat me with a spirit argument, I will go with you. I am keenly aware that at first, the logic of a boycott makes little sense to many people. Some have said that by participating in elections, IPOB will have a chance of helping to elect politicians amenable to self-determination and ultimately a referendum. Well, that's true, but only in theory, where things work. In practice, experience has shown that votes hardly count in Nigeria. And where they may count, we have not yet seen any candidate willing to commit to the changes that we are demanding, such that the boycott could be reconsidered as a whole or piecemeal for such a candidate. We need people who can say, yes, we believe in what you're doing. We believe in self-determination. Then we can vote for you. If anybody comes out tomorrow to say, oh, I believe in self-determination, anybody contesting for any of the governorship positions, oh my goodness, we will not only vote for you, we will stay in the polling station to make sure that your votes are counted and you declare the winner. That's what we're looking for. Isn't it? Is that what we're looking for? We believe in democracy as well. Come out and tell us, I believe in self-determination. That's all. And we'll vote for you. Not the presidential election, though. Talking about the states. Come out and tell us you believe in what we are doing. That you want our land to be free. Even if you say you want to return us to 1963 Constitution, maybe we can know that perhaps you have something upstairs in your brain. Not telling us about this unitary, federalist, unworkable, militaristic constitution drafted by Abdulsalami Abubakar, where they mentioned Sharia. Was it 11 times? Is it 30-something times? And no mention of Christianity. No mention of Judaism, which incidentally is my ancient religion. Older than any other religion in the world, for your information. We must say, therefore, that it is the real and reoccurring threats to the fairness of elections in Nigeria that constitute one of the primary reasons that IPOB has chosen the path of boycotting elections. So, inasmuch as the boycott may not succeed in truncating the election in the short term, the long-term benefits are legion, I must tell you. The downside of a boycott is, of course, very obvious. When an election is boycotted, the incumbent is much more likely to win that election. Yet, the upside is that when a popular mass movement such as IPOB boycotts an election, it denies the government the legitimacy derived from the results of such election. That's enough for us, because we are principled. We are fighting on principle. People must understand that. That's enough for us, and that's enough for the international community that monitors this. If you doubt the potency of election boycotts, I want to consider the following. Mahatma Gandhi's India National Congress deployed successfully to end the British rule in India. New England in America, the blacks, they were allowed to vote, but they boycotted the polls because of other blacks elsewhere in America that were not allowed to vote. like themselves. We remember Joshua Nkomo's and Robert Mugabe's patriotic front. They refused to participate in Ian Smith's sham elections in Zimbabwe, and that helped to end the white minority rule in that very nation. Nelson Mandela's African National Congress boycotted the apartheid elections in South Africa, resulting in the reoccurring illegitimacy of the apartheid regime and its eventual fall and rise of the African National Congress to power. How about in Nigeria, the zoo? Awolowo's boycott of the 1964 elections contributed significantly to the fall of the First Republic. But Yoruba journalists, they won't remind you of that. Never, they won't. That there was a time a Yoruba man felt that Yorubas were being cheated and deployed election boycott. Yoruba media will never tell you. Never! They won't tell you that. The point of what I have been saying is very simple. The raging debate issuing from IPO's decision to boycott the 2019 election should not be about the pros and the cons. Rather, those that know that the boycott will hurt them should direct their energy to consideration of the political concessions that can be made to IPOB to persuade it to call off the boycott. We are reasonable people. We are boycotting the elections because you have not met our demands. If you're prepared to meet our very reasonable demands, then we call off the boycott. Very simple. Meet our demands. We call it off. This same Nigeria they're asking us to participate in the elections doesn't even know the meaning of separation of powers, because Nigeria is a backward Fulani enclave under neo-colonial influence. What I find mentally debilitating is our inability as a group of people to rise to the occasion and take back the power we have so freely for years vested in the hands of people who are not educated enough to hold high office. They call themselves elite. Umahiwo Onyosi before our governor. 419 corner. Niguocha. Ask anybody who knows him now. What was your job before you became governor? They tell you he was a 419. Ask anybody. And the same thing could happen in Imo State. Look at people running in Imo State. The same thing could happen there. The fact still remains that what happens in Nigeria is selection, not election. If not, why would Devo Mahi in PDP be campaigning for a murderous APC government that killed his own people? Why would Willie Obiano of Anambra State, a supposed Igbo man that Peter Obi put in power in Anambra State, be campaigning so viciously against the same Peter Obi, his mentor and his godfather? They say I am inflexible. I want you, some of you, to spend some time going through the antecedents of all these men that you call your leaders. You will be ashamed of yourself, not even them, you yourself, of what they have become. We know the all-powerful INEC is owned and run by Fulani Cabal. The same way they want to change the Chief Justice, so should the matter go to the Supreme Court, Fulani will win again. Because Yoruba wants the presidency in 2023, by all means. Anything... Fulani, listen, Jubril can kill everybody. Yoruba media will never talk about it because they want the presidency, because they hate you. They despise you. That is the truth. Only INEC announced results are considered valid, so all it takes for a candidate to win is to be in the good books of the Fulani Cabal running Nigeria, and you're guaranteed success. Look at Edo State governorship elections. Look at Ekiti, look at Osun. Once they say you have won, you have won. Pip, the whole world was looking at the returning officer, the INEC officer. They called, before he announced the results, they called him on the phone, isn't it? And he changed. There and then, he changed the result. Delayed it and then announced APC as the winner. Did anything happen? Have you heard of anything happening? So if Jubril rigs himself back into power, what do you think will happen? What do you think will happen? Nothing will happen. Then we would have wasted all our time, energy, and effort. If you want Jubril removed, you accede to my demands. Very simple. Referendum. Isn't it? Yes, sir. Is it difficult? Referendum. Simple. It doesn't matter how many votes you receive or how many supporters you have. The only thing that counts in the zoo is who Aso Rock wants to place in power. But we can... they should prepare to kill us, so, because OKC Pass is not going back. Dave Umahi is not going back. Because they are the reason why... Because if they're not there, can they invite Operation Patterns to come again? If we leave them there, they'll keep inviting them to keep coming. Keep coming. That is one of the valid arguments the proponents of voting has, which I recognize. I recognize that it is very obvious and very clear. I recognize that. It's a very clear point and a very valid one at that as well. Okay, Zipazo will not return. Neither will Dave Umahi. We will fight them to the very last person. INEC will now see that they cannot rig every election. We want to prove to Umahi that IPOB owns Ebonyi. We own it. We own that very place. You must understand that. Edo, Ekiti, and Osun states are forerunners of what will become of the elections this very year. Everybody saw the blatant rigging and falsification of results, but as Africans, we don't care enough to want to correct these anomalies, but we expect economic and social development from people who are callous enough to subvert the electoral process. Simple common sense. Will it register? I doubt it very much. But we must continue. The issue of underage voting in Kano hasn't been addressed. You know, you have... I want it to be posted everywhere, please. Underage voting. One, now I want to tell them why we will not vote. Underage voters in Kano. Simple as that. Other thorny issues like allowing a so-called IDP residing in Niger, Chad, and Cameroon to vote in the presidential elections, but not in the governorship ones, has not been resolved. In fact, it has been resolved in favor of APC, because they'll just simply write the results and bring it in. All these are inbuilt fraud designed to deliver the government of Abba Kyari, ceremoniously headed by Jibril Aminu al-Sudani of Sudan. This is even as the issue of non-availability of WAEC results remains unresolved. The man doesn't even have Buhari's WAEC certificate. But there is a provision that says you must have it. There is none, but nobody gives a damn. It's Nigeria after all. What this demonstrates is that Nigeria has no civilized rule of conduct, be it in governance or in elections. What you have in Nigeria is a quasi-military dictatorship with a sprinkling of civilians in certain positions to give the veneer or to give the impression of democracy when it is anything but. What Nigeria is practicing is not democracy, because in any true democracy, the legislature will not tolerate the excesses of this Jubilee administration. Now, the question is, why don't people rise up in rebellion against this mess of a government? Could it be because we have all become spineless cowards? The fact remains that people have refused to rationalize and reason very properly. How do you expect us to vote in an election where the outcome is a foregone conclusion? Nepotism has been taken to a new height because the appointment of an all-exclusive Fulani INEC. This was the same INEC that sanctioned the nomination of Jibril Buhari despite not having a verifiable WAEC certificate, which for the avoidance of doubt is a prerequisite for every candidate seeking the office of the President of Nigeria. It is shameful and very sad for any observer of what is happening to my land, Biafra, and especially Igbo people. If you are not mentally tough, you might be tempted to throw in the towel in surrender to Fulani hegemony, given the conduct of Igbo politicians like Dave Umahi. Admittedly, some politicians show the potential of being reliable. However, as one intelligent man put it, politicians are often victims of linear thinking and logic. IPOB has proved that there are other centers of influence and power in the East. Those hoping that Atiku will sweep Biafra land because of Obi factor is misguided, because almost every governor in the Southeast is working for Jibril Buhari. What should bother everyone is the emptiness of the mindless acquisition of those that claim that they are our representatives in Abuja or government houses in our land. After all the contracts Arthur Eze listed in his video, there is no major industry, no successful business, no university, no organized philanthropy linked to his name. What a shame. You know, even Soludo of all people is working for Jibril. Can you believe that? Our people must understand that between we must understand that in 1929, our mothers in Aba drove away the colonial warrant chiefs imposed on us by the British. Nothing stops this generation from driving away these criminals from office. Our mothers did not do it through the ballot box. They did it the direct way. That is what we must do to all these governors placed in office by Fulani Caliphate to represent their interest and subjugate us. If you know anybody who is related to Onogun or from Cross River State or from Akwa Ibom, by which I mean Efiki Bibio and Angoron, you must now open your eyes very clearly and see what is in store for you. They did it to Ken Sarawiwa, and nobody said anything. They are not doing it to Onogun. Our only hope is Biafra. And on that, I stand till the day I die. I thank you all very much for listening. And now, please, Ikechukwu, I want you to give us the telephone numbers to call. This is Israel. +972 533 990485. I have not done this in very many years. I intend to do it today. And on Skype, we are on Biafra Rising Radio Biafra. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Biafra Rising Radio Biafra. It's a mouthful, isn't it? The number once again is +972 533 990485 for anybody wishing to engage in a two-way conversation this evening. I'm not Jubril that doesn't take live questions. I do, because I'm a Nnamdi Kanu. I'm not dead yet. But Buhari is being represented by Jubril. Are you sure the lines are okay? Because it's rather unusual, I expect. Because how about taking, the questions can also come via, I did ask Amake Ekwo to make sure that the questions can also come via, are they coming? Through Facebook, yes. The questions can also come through Facebook. So Ikechukwu is here with me. He can read it out and we will then be able to answer and address all your questions. We can address all your questions. The number once again is +972 533. Is it a Skype line or is it just a direct line? The Skype line is the second one. Is the first one a direct telephone number? Yes, +972. Have a call on the line. Please take the call and find out what he's saying and then let's hear him. Who is on the line, please?
Come on the line, can you hear me?
I can hear you. All in Biafra. My name is Simon Ayanugo.
Yes, Simon. Go ahead.
Simon Ayanugo. Only if he... You are alive. I know we'll meet again. After I saw you last in Amsterdam, I know that the journey will be like this. May Chukwu Okike Adeyemo bless you and protect you. Chukwu Okike Adeyemo have done it for me. Hearing your voice again, to be the first person to speak to you after almost 5 years now. Only a lot of things have happened.
Yes.
A lot of things have happened. May Okike. Well, Chukwu Okike Adeyemo sanctioned you for this journey. That is why I followed you. That is why I had your voice. Only
He's okay.
Not understand and foresee all the danger our people was my and
They said they came to we came here to make money. We said no. There is a cup of danger that are waiting for our people. But thank God. After all, Nnamdi Kanu is alive to answer question today. Well, I don't know what to say anymore. The deed has been done.
He did well.
Kiku Okike Abiyama has done it. I'm
he
okay.
Said, said.
If I die today, I know that
I know.
A big man will not do me. Because people say that, well, let it be, thank God.
Oh, hey, Biafra. Thank you very much. Thank you. He was too emotional to be coherent, but I did grasp a few things that he was saying. You know, there is a saying where I come from, a local adage. I don't know if you grew up in the village, because I grew up in the village. There is a saying that, Achotin Yaga, Wanwan Yamanis Botemma. Asiagas Haho. Because she is too beautiful, you don't know what to say. You know, like my wife is. Now, people say all manner of things to dissuade you, to make you take your eye off the ball, for you to be somehow, you know, to begin to doubt yourself. There's nothing they have not said about us. They are looking for money, they are looking for this, they want relevance. And I said to them, if I wanted your money and your relevance, I would have accepted the deal you gave me whilst I was in detention. I would have stopped Biafra agitation. What I want is freedom, and I've said it repeatedly. It is not my intention to lead Biafra. I want to serve until Biafra is restored. Then other people can come in and lead it. Other more younger, vibrant people. They said, oh no, he's very young. How can a man who is over 50 years of age be young? Do you see how foolish they are? Ojukwu was our head of state at the age of 33. I am in my 50s and people are saying, oh, but they are young. Is it because I'm blessed by Elohim? Because I know my can eat your jaw. That is why I look young. I don't dabble in evil like some of you people do. We must remain on course until Biafra is restored. They have not seen anything like me before. And of course, IPUB that I lead. The very finest movement on this very earth. As I said, if you are in IPUB, you are truly blessed. Look at your life and look at those who are outside IPUB. And see the difference. Lechukwu Kikabiyama is with us. We've lost men, that is true. But because of their blood, Biafra will come. That is a sacrifice we all have to make in order to ensure that our restoration is certain. Please, the next caller, if we have any on the line, please. The Skype call? Yes, go ahead. I'm used to all this. I can take the calls. This is Radio Biafra. Please go ahead. Hello? Yes. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Please go ahead.
Okay, my name is Dr. Kingsley. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well. Please proceed. I've said yes several times that I can hear you. Please go ahead.
My name is Dr. Kingsley. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. For the last time, I can hear
you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, director, is there two Biafrans or three Biafrans like you? I believe after five. The sovereign state of Biafra.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes,
hello.
I can hear you. Go ahead.
I'm very happy with what you're doing. And in fact, you're giving us courage to sit up here as Biafrans.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm very, very motivated. I just want to ask you a few questions,
go
if
ahead.
You will not mind.
Ask the questions. I'll answer you.
Okay, I want to know how it can be actualized on the election day for us, because personally I've decided I'm not going to cast my vote. I'm not going to cast any vote. I'm going to sit at home that day. But I want to know how it is going to be done for other Biafrans to also observe this directive from you, our director, on that day. What is the plan to make sure that this is being actualized on that day? Hello?
Yes, I thank you very much for your question. What we are going to do is that we are going to boycott the elections, which means we are going to sit at home on that very day. We are not going to vote. That day will be declared a day for us to sit at home. We will not vote. It is a point of principle. People keep asking us, oh, what do we hope to achieve? It is registering our vote, our displeasure at what is happening in the zoo, and the whole world will know that we are in control of our land. They will know we're in control. If they want us to call off the boycott, they know what to do. Our demand is a very simple one. Very, very simple, just that they cannot see it. It's a very simple one. Give us a date for a referendum, then we vote. Without that, then no way. The next caller, please.
I strongly believe in the boycott, and I think
that's the... Yes, please. Who's on the line? Are you sure there's somebody there? Yes, why is the volume so low? Can you turn off the volume on the phone itself, please? Turn off the volume on the phone, please. Yes, Biafra, we held thee. Please go ahead. It's very, very faint. That I don't know if it is the phone. I don't know where it's coming from. No. I can hear you. Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Please go ahead.
Shalom, dear friend. I'm very happy to hear from my director. I'm happy on what he's doing to restore our country, Biafra. Because my father told me a story about Biafra. Are you hearing me?
Yes, I can hear you. Loud and
clear. Okay, I'm Messi Uto for One Man Country.
Thank you. Please, the line is not very clear, I'm afraid. What is happening to the phone, please? The phone is very poor. Can you change it, please? Change that very phone and put the SIM card somewhere else because it's not very clear. Let's go to Skype. Is anybody on Skype? Nobody's on Skype because the line is not very clear. Why is that? It's not clear. That very phone is the issue. It's not clear. The caller on Skype, I can hear you. Please.
Hello, good evening, Mama.
Yes, can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yes, I can hear you. Good evening, my director.
Good evening.
I'm calling from Iguacha.
From Iguacha is a very strong place. Iguacha is very formidable. Please go ahead.
Yes, I'm Maxwell Chu of Fine Writers Press. My director, I want to thank you for all you've been doing and I want to thank Biafrans all over the world for being resolute. We must restore Biafra completely. Also, I want to comment on this David Mumbais, his name, Debu Amagihe, that's his name, Debu Amagihe, and Mohaneze Nibo and others. No matter what they do, they proscribe us, they call us newsers, call us terrorists. Ever. So I see no other name left to call us because they've called us everything. So, and what they're doing now, they're doing is we completely restored Biafra. Biafra will restore. My director, I don't have much to say tonight. I for you and thank you for being resolute and a leader who is trustworthy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for your call. Thank you very much for your call. Thank you very, very much. Before we go to the next call, I think it is very, very important that we remind Dave Umahi, Okezi Ikpeazu Willo Biano, Ifeanyi Ugwuanyi. And because Rocha Sokorocha is not a Biafran, as you've noticed, I don't normally or usually mention his name because he's not a Biafran. He's an Hausa man in our land. I want our people all over the world to reflect on this. It was something sent to me very privately that I wish to share with some of you. We've mentioned it before, but I think it's important that we reflect and ponder over it. We remember in 2011, somebody named Kabiru Sokoto of Boko Haram bombed St. Teresa's Catholic Church in Madala, in Niger State. And a lot of Biafrans were killed. Igbo people especially were massacred during that occasion. What some of you do not know is that the same Kabiru Sokoto was released in 2016 by the late Buhari, or should I say the Fulani cabal. No Igbo governor spoke up. Ahaneze did not say anything. Now my question is this. Can anybody tell me the crime that Justice Ude committed, MNEK and the others, for them to be arrested, their homes stormed by the army and DSS to arrest them, whilst Kabiru Sokoto that killed the people that Justice Ude is agitating for is a free man? Is there any logic, reason, or common sense to that? Don't answer this question yourselves, please. Ask your state governors. Ask them. Why this witch hunt and vendetta against IPOB that is defending those who are under attack from Fulani headsmen, Fulani cabal in Aso Rock? Nothing has been done for us. No second Niger Bridge. Roads are not built. No employment. There is absolute hopelessness everywhere with abject poverty to boot. We are the ones making sure, trying to make sure that the lives of our people is tremendously improved. We are the ones being hunted down by our own so-called governors. Whereas those that killed us in our tens of hundreds are free, moving about from one place to the other. What is the rationale and what is the justification? Just ponder over it. Please, who is the next call on the line? Please, if you may. Turn it down, please. His line is on. That is the problem that we have. Please, can you terminate that very call and take the next one, please, if you may? And is our telephone line now working? Let's try and see. Who's on the line, please?
Hello?
There is somebody on the line. Yes, please, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
We have gone back to this hello, hello business once again. Please go to the Skype and see if they are ready now. Yes. Who's there on Skype, please? Can you hear me? I think they have forgotten all the protocol, that once you're connected, you start talking immediately. Can you hear me? The caller on Skype can hear me.
My Supreme Leader, good evening, sir.
Good evening. Good evening, madam.
I am Evangelist Susan Kumoti, calling from Biafra Land.
Paul is exceptional, very strong. Welcome to the program.
Wow, my Supreme Leader.
Hey, guys.
You want to come down and we continue to strengthen you.
You see?
What is that one thing that can stand before you? It must be not a plane. Because he has chosen you to restore Biafra, no power.
He said,
he has chosen you to restore Biafra, and your hands, which started the restoration of Biafra through IPOB, will surely complete it.
He said,
in the name of Yahweh Yeshua. He said,
he said, he said, he said, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. And bless you too. He said, thank you very much. Bye. Mpo is not working. We must make sure our engineers get to it and tell us the reason why Mpo is not working. Our relay station, that is. We need to get everybody listening to us. Very, very important, please. That engineers take note and make sure that Mpo is reconnected. Do you have anybody else on the line, please?
Hello?
Yes, they're on the line. Go ahead, please. Turn your radio down. This is Radio Biafra.
Hello?
Turn your radio down and speak to us. This is Radio Biafra. Have you all forgotten the protocol? You turn your system down when you speak to us.
Hello? Hello?
Turn it down. Can you please cut him off? He's not. Hello? He's not paying attention. He's not paying attention. Do you have anybody else on Skype, if you may? They're not. Can you hear me? The caller on Skype, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, my supreme leader, my special leader. Good evening, sir. Speaking from Abba.
Abba, thank you very much for calling. Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Yes, my leader. Today in Abba, our enemies, OKZ, have seen that indeed you are the general president of the Hodi Afrika land. That is why what is happening in Abba is happening all this while. As I'm talking to you, they are adopting our people on a daily basis. In the evening, in the midnight, this is the job of kidnappers. My leader, this is the job of Boko Haram. Boko Haram always, Refinani Hesman, always invaded people's houses in the midnight and picked them and killed them. This is what Nigerian government is doing, led by this demon called OKZ Bazo and Jubrin in Asorok. These are their job, because they knew that indeed Mazen Nnamdi Kanu, the supreme leader of the whole indigenous people of Biafra worldwide, have indeed done what nobody can do. Every Biafra should read the book of Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. They will see what God says. A day will come, a time will come, when a man, when in Jamaica will arose with a prince in that land and that day, in that nation, that what is happening in the nation have never done before. I want every Biafra to read Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. They will understand that what our leader Mazen Nnamdi Kanu is doing is very, very spiritual. And the God have sanctioned a day like this. My leader, you are indeed a great man. Never you look at what is happening. You tell us that indeed, there is a time you made that comment. These are the appropriate time. And indeed, it's very, very, it's not easy. We in Abba especially, this is getting out of hand. But indeed, God is fighting for our freedom together with you. And God has sent to Koki Kabiyama, who does never fail you, who bring you out from the hand of the enemy, take you back to Israel. I call him every minute of the day that he should always give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to tell us what to do in order to help you to restore Biafra. This is Mazi Belemeto signing off from Abba. Shalom, my leader.
Shalom. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much for that. I welcome it. Now that OKZ Bazu, with the help of his Fulani friends in the army and DSS, are abducting our people, nobody will say anything. Yoruba media will not say anything. Nobody's complaining. It's all normal. It's just part of governance for an Igbo man to invite Fulanis to abduct his own people and kill them. It's all normal. The day we retaliate now, everywhere will start bubbling, more or less, with liars and deceivers all over the place, writing and chatting rubbish. Now that our people are being abducted on a daily basis, nobody's saying anything about it. They are daring us. They are daring us. I want Yoruba newspaper editors and journalists to be aware of what is happening with Nigerian army and our people in Biafra land. abduction upon abduction, kidnapping upon kidnapping on a daily basis. This is from the government itself, a government dedicated to kidnapping people, a government of kidnappers. The world must bear us witness what Okezie Bazo, Umahi, and their friends are doing. The day we retaliate, people will not start it from the beginning. I hope they take note of what is going on in our land today. Thank you for calling from Abba. Please, who's the next call on the line? They call on the phone. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, can I can hear you.
Please go ahead.
Is that Hamadike?
Yes, it is.
Yes, I want to thank you, sir. My name is John from Washington. I want to thank you for what you have been doing, for a great leadership.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for your kindness and for your resolute. Now, my question is, I understand this is a peaceful agitation, but, you know, when you look around the entire world that got their independence, I've never seen any country that got it peacefully. So, my question to you, do you think that the way you are going, that Nigerian government will allow Biafra to go? You know, we need to fight them. You know, maybe they think like the same way they did it, you know, years back when we fought together. They never realized that the world has changed. It's a digital age. We need to fight them and take this by force. America fought, they got their independence. France, some other countries in the whole world. So my question is, do you think the path we are going is the best to get it done? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. It is, for now, the best, and I will tell you why. I want you to look at the thinking of our people, because we are Republicans. All these years, what we've been trying to do is to carry our people along as we proceed. If we prematurely go into a war without carrying our people along, the number of traitors and saboteurs we have within us will make our success almost impossible. We can never win. Look at what is happening today. Nigeria is very rich, supported and backed by a superpower, by a world power in Britain. They are also supported by Saudi Arabia. You must understand that these countries wield enormous influence around the world. Starting a war is not the issue. We definitely can. What we need to concern ourselves with is, can we sustain it, and then for how long? That is the problem. Any day we succeed in carrying our people along, everybody together, aboard this very train, then it becomes inevitable, our exit from the zoo called Nigeria. We want to remain peaceful because we can accomplish it peacefully. But we also know that we have the option to defend ourselves should they come to attack us en masse, which we know might happen. When that happens, then we will have every justification to seek our separation by force. But we must get everything in place, or else they will hand over our land to the Fulani Caliphate. We have too many saboteurs in our midst. Most of your political leaders are traitors. Ohanaeze itself is treachery defined. It is a machine designed to subvert the interests of our people. Forever and ever. They will never change. So these are the issues that you must consider. You know that our people, by virtue of their Republican disposition and mindset, you must consult them extensively. Before we go to war, we will get their mandate and they'll give it to us, should this current unbearable situation in Nigeria continue. You must give them that benefit. They are taking stock of what is happening. And very soon, I assure you that we will be free. I don't want us to come here and tell the whole world our strategy or how we intend to go about it. But be rest assured that what we are doing is working. That I can assure you. And thank you very much for calling. Some people ask questions via my Facebook page, which Amaka Eko kindly forwarded to me. This is from Prince Ebuka Maxwell Okwaraji, who said, would an independent state of Biafra recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel? Of course, yes. That is number one. Jerusalem, because every country in the world has the right to decide where their capital should be. Therefore, the state of Israel has every right in the world to decide where to set their capital. They have chosen the very holy city of Jerusalem, and we Biafrans are in complete and in total support of it. In support of it, completely and totally. And in the future, we will look to site our liaison office in Jerusalem, if resources permitting us, of course, because we have quite a lot to do. Can I also have a look at the other questions as well that came via Facebook to see? Somebody asked a question here. His name is Owe Keme Brady Kumo. I'm sure I got it right. He said, I have a few questions. What is the proposed constitution of our upcoming United States of Biafra? Can we get a draft copy of it in the public domain now? That would be necessary for our campaigns towards the pending globally accepted Biafra referendum. Very nice question. As some kind of an overview, Biafra will run a very unique political system designed to cater for the needs of our people. We are going to have nation states. We will have an Igbo nation within Biafra. We will have an Efik nation within Biafra. We will have an Anang nation within Biafra, if they so choose. We will also have a Jaw nation within Biafra. We will have Isoko nation within Biafra. We will have Idoma nation within Biafra. We will have a Gala nation within Biafra. Listen to this. They will all be autonomous. Each nation state will control the resources in their own land. The only thing that will bind us together will be a common defense policy, common economic policy, common policy in health and in education. And the rest, let people develop according to the pace that they wish, or they have decided amongst themselves to go by. Laws will be done in local languages. Igbo Parliament will make laws in Igbo language. Ijaw Parliament will make laws in Ijaw language. The same thing applies to Ibibio. So that when people are lying to us, we will know. All lies. But you can't defeat, or you cannot bamboozle people when you're speaking the language they actually understand. What we're going to have in Biafra will be a brand new nation with new ideas and new ways of doing things. Our political arrangement will be geared towards addressing our core needs. Igbo land will have a prime minister. The same thing will happen to Ijaw. The same thing to Isoko, to Robo, to Ishikiri. Everybody will be autonomous from one another, to develop at the pace that they like. That is the type of Biafra we are seeking to have. And that is the type of Biafra we are going to have. There was another question earlier from, he says his name is Kene Obiano. He said, my question is this. After the election boycott, another president emerges or Jibril gets a second term, can it be said that IPOB has been defeated? No. You must understand that. What we are playing is a long-term game. Garnering credibility all along as we go. We need to demonstrate during the presidential elections that Biafra land belongs. Can things be worse than they are today? We are being killed, kidnapped every blessed day. So what? The only thing that may happen is a full-scale invasion, which is even better for us. then the world will know that we are ripe to go, and then we go. So it doesn't really matter to us. It's just like asking the Israelites before they left Egypt, wouldn't they campaign for Pharaoh to be replaced? I mean, oh, come on. They hate us. That is the issue is not just about Nigeria. Nigeria, they hate us as a people. They don't like your gods. The sooner you realize this, the better for you. I'm sure there was a time when it used to be a birthright of our people to either get the VP or the president of the Senate or something like that. But now you're even begging for vice. You're now begging for deputy president of the Senate. They won't even give it to you. So you must understand that we are playing a long-term game. It's not you boycott today, you get everything you want today. It just does not happen like that. I want more questions, please, from Facebook. If you go to, and I also want my deputy chairman to please channel all the questions coming to me, because not when I turn my back, because they know I cannot come on my page all the time. People ask silly questions. I want you to call or send your questions. The most difficult, the most ridiculous, the most perverse. And I will answer all of them. That is why I'm here, waiting. I want to address all your questions one after the other. I don't care or mind what it's all about. Ask and I will answer so that the whole world can hear. Because I have nothing to hide. Any calls anywhere on the phone, on Skype, please, if you may. On the phone, please, yes. Go ahead. The caller on the phone, can you hear me?
Yeah, good evening, my brother.
Good evening.
Mose Nnamdi, my leader, good evening.
Good evening to you.
The prophet of our time. The preacher of our time. The pastor of our time.
You got it.
My name is Philip Oko. I am from Uchiwa, resided in Aba. Member, secretary, Aba South Mobilization Team. My director, I want to ask you a question because he said that we should ask questions, you will answer it.
Any question at all, I will answer it.
Yes. My director, my question goes like this. I do listen to Radio Biafra via satellite. Now, for some months now, our radio here in Aba precisely is faulty, that they do not turn it again for us to hear it. There is a purpose that I lamented this. I have lamented it all the whole plot. I have called Ike Peters. I have called Emmanuel SMBD. I have called Onyibe. I have called Ike. Over this issue, more especially in Aba, I want to ask, is it an algorithm? Let me not go to much terms. Is it the process, more especially here in Aba, that our radio will be only on 5 o'clock a.m. in the morning and 7 o'clock p.m. in the night? Only when Onyibe is on the radio that Aba will call. If I'm doubting, I want to hear people like Akutawa Abelese, my chief in mobilization team, Akiraba, Patrick, Yonlevu. They are mobilization team members. Let them confirm this that I'm talking. I've been complaining over this, that people don't hear Radio Biafra in Aba to know what is going on. More especially when Ikechukwu Onwuha is on the live broadcast. When Peter is on the radio broadcast, when Emmanuel is singing this on the radio broadcast, even our brother Jose has lamented this, and there is no response to me positively.
I will give you this assurance that I will make sure that all the issues and concerns you raise concerning our relay station in Aba is well tackled, and I thank you very much for this. Our people are working very hard, and they must tackle these issues. Umpo and Aba, I want the radio to be on 24/7. But remember, you have to buy the fuel for the generator. That's all. If we are If we are interested in doing it, then that is what has to be done. And I thank you very, very much. Let me take a few questions from those writing on my Facebook page. I can still hear some sound on the thing. Can you please cut out every other line, please? This is from Ifani Confidence, Nevis Elu, I think he's writing on my page. He says here, Mazin, no, beginning of the year, you say you surely get a referendum this year. What actions would be taken to make sure this happens? The preparedness of our people will be tested during the presidential elections to make sure if we are ready or not. We go with what the people want us to do. As I said before, we must always be mindful that our people, we are not Fulani people, neither are we Yorubas that run a monarchical system. We are Republicans by nature. We must carry everybody along. Evangelism is ongoing, and at the right time, we will announce it. You can just take from what happened to us this evening before we started. I think we came on air round about, say, 20 past 7 Israeli time this evening. Why did that happen? Because our lines are being jammed. We have enemies who are very wealthy, very influential, very formidable. You must understand that at all times. So we make one step and they counter us from everywhere. We try to look for a way out. If not for the determination, in fact, let me just say this. If not that Elohim is with us, we would not have gotten this far by now. And to make matters worse, all your politicians, no, I wouldn't say all, I mean, a few of them are reasonable. Most of your politicians are working for Fulani people to subvert Biafra. The governors especially, and Ohaneze, the Nigerian government. Some people with what I call misguided interest in Britain, because by the time I get to Britain and explain to them what they stand to gain from Biafra, they will see that their dealings with Fulani people are basically a waste of time and opportunity. You must understand what we are facing. We are taking it one step at a time. Understand this very well. We cannot be stampeded, but I can assure you that we are doing all we can, evangelizing and spreading the message so we can conduct our referendum this year. Please understand that. And I thank you for your question. This is from Raphael Oscar in here. He said, I'm a Biafran. First of all, I'm very blessed to see the message that's been written in the Bible, not what people call Christ. My question is, after boycotting the presidential elections, what is our faith and next step? That's my question. Our next step is that we will continue. I wouldn't say depending, because I know that the compliance will be nearly 100%. After the boycott of the elections, it sends a very clear message to the whole world, because all international observers will be there to see for themselves. And as I said earlier during my address, should they decide to meet us on our terms, so to speak, regarding all the conditions we've given to them. Remember, the elections will be, the boycott will be called off. If they meet our demands, we will call off the boycott. That's what we're doing. But if they refuse to meet our demands, then, of course, the boycott will go ahead. And when it does, it will confirm one thing to the whole world, that IPOB is in charge of our land. And secondly, that our people are united in their demand for freedom. That conveys a very strong message to the international community, and one which we will seek to exploit in every way that we can. It's not everything that I'm at liberty to tell you live on air. As I said earlier, our enemies are numerous, and they try to counter each and every step that we take. What else is here? A.K. George, how are we going to deal with saboteurs amongst us? We shall deal with them the way that people deal with saboteurs everywhere around the world. We pray that some of them repent. If they don't, of course, we know what the consequences will be. If the zoo refuses to give us referendum, are we going to keep asking them till when? Of course, I understand. Me too, I'm a bit impatient. I want Biafra to be here by tomorrow, and we're doing everything we can to ensure that that happens. What we are going to do is that we will conduct our own referendum. We've said it many times. If they refuse to give us one, we will conduct one ourselves. And this is from Kenneth Wilfred. He said here, can't we take Jibril issue to the international body than going to election with a foreigner? Of course, I recognize that. Remember, our case is at the International Criminal Court, ICC. Let me tell you something that most people don't know. because it is Biafra. And Biafra falls within Nigeria, which is British government's sphere of influence. Understand how this works. You cannot do anything pertaining to Nigeria without first clearing it with Britain, because that is their area of influence. They used to colonize Nigeria. So, in a very funny way, we are all British slaves. It sounds perverse, but it's true. They decide what happens. If Her Imperial Majesty Queen Elizabeth II chooses to set Biafra free, she can simply say, allow them to go and we'll be gone. But I'm not sure anybody will do that quite soon. Our faith in Elohim stands for something. Our belief in Chukwukika Biama, the Supreme Creator, stands for something. And without him, we wouldn't have been here today. So I strongly believe, from the beginning, from the onset, by every message we've ever received, that Biafra will come by the grace of the Almighty in heaven. Not through any man. Not through what I say or what I do, but only by his grace. Because if Biafra doesn't come, then don't worry. There is no God in heaven. There is no Chukwukika Biama. That's what he said. If Biafra doesn't come, we shouldn't believe in him anymore. So there's no problem. That's why I know that Biafra will come. And we shall do everything within our powers to make sure that it comes. We have died. We have been imprisoned. Some are still in detention right now, being tortured. Like Justice Ude, Emenike, and all the rest of them. Because of this. So, we must lobby harder, so to speak. We must lobby. Let me give you a very simple assignment. I want you to find any organization in the world, reputable, that will handle the case for Biafra against Nigeria. It's just a simple assignment. Look all over the world and see if you succeed. Then you know what is facing us. But we are making headway. And I assure you, they can do whatever they like with Jibril. It wouldn't even be better to allow them to elect Jibril and then we expose him, isn't it? Subject the damn place to ridicule. What we are trying to do, believe you me, is very difficult. Because of that, Big Daddy Britain is there. Is what they decide that happens. But we are doing the best we can under the circumstance. This is Inhyani too. He said, sir, you need a spiritual helper like Aaron needs to Moses. I have Uchemefo. Uchemefo is also spiritual, I can assure you. Yes, thank you very, very much. Chukwukika Biama knows best, and at the right time, people will come forward. I'm sure that I've answered some of the questions. This is from this Emeka Kenneth Ojukwu, my leader. After election boycott, what is the next move, sir? We boycott the elections, then we prepare for our referendum. We then steadily move to a government in exile, properly constituted, and then we do the next thing that comes after that as well. So we have a full program. But as I said earlier, we must carry our people along all the time. You know, some people say, well, we are behind you. Also, if you look behind you, you see nobody. So we want to take everybody along with us very gently. And we must keep explaining to our people why where IPOB is leading them is the best place for them to be. What plans do you have? This is from IK, just IK. Say, what plans do you have? This is also on Facebook. What plans do you have in a way of preventing people from... No, we don't prevent anybody from voting. No, not at all. Not at all, no. We appeal because we are Republicans. You make your argument, we make our argument, and people will decide. That's what we do. We don't compel or force anybody to do anything. No, not at all. This is from Michael Achibong Eta. I am an Efik from Ekpene Esuk, Esigi in Calabar, Cross River State. I am an IPOB member in Igwacha province. I have gone through the details of the suffering in my fatherland, Biafra, and I strongly support the election boycott and the emergence of Biafra as a nation. But my question is this. How long will it take again for us to get our Biafra? Because I'm ready to fight to the death in order to bring Biafra if it comes to that. Thank you very much, Michael Achibong Eta. He mentioned his name is local government. To tell Yoruba journalists that Cross River is Biafra. Forget all the nonsense you read in the papers. It doesn't work. On the ground is IPOB everywhere, and they know it. Biafra will come, and we are doing all we can, doing the best we can to make sure that Biafra comes. When you go into a war, you cannot predict when it's going to end. Ours is like a war of attrition at that. And we have very formidable adversaries. And we keep praying and working very hard. Not just prayers, we work very hard as well to ensure that this comes to an end as quickly as possible, that Biafra may stand as an independent nation. And as you pointed out, excuse me, you're from EFIC. Then you should prepare to serve in the parliament for EFIC people. Because EFIC will have their own flag, the same way that Igbos will have their own flag, and the Ijaw people will have our overall Biafran flag, but every nation will also have their own flag. Because believe you me, after what happened in the zoo, Nigeria, running a unitary system is the worst thing you can ever do to a people. Allow people to be free. And that is what Biafra is going to be all about. Do we have any more questions anywhere? Any more questions anywhere? Let's take a call from either Skype or from the... Yes, please, the caller on Skype, can you hear me?
Yeah, Maz, good evening, sir.
Good evening to you.
Yeah, my name is Ikem Patrick DK, and I'm calling from Italy.
From Italy, thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Yes, and I'm a member of IPOB proudly, and I plan to welcome you back officially on Radio Biafra. It's been a long time. We missed you. We've never had such an opportunity to interact with you for a very, very long time.
That is true.
On behalf of the, just on the faces of newspaper and for political purpose, you have proven beyond words that you are a man of integrity at a point where some of us lost hope and strength. You gave us the hope back again. Maze, we here in Italy have been very, very formidable. We have a very strong household here in Italy. Thanks to our national coordinator, who have also remained resolute and defiant against saboteurs also in our midst. We want to say we've been very, 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 very active, and we'll continue to do what is needful for us to restore our lovely nation, Biafra.
Thank you very much.
Maze, there is nothing much to be said. You've said it all. Anybody who says they have not heard about IPOB and about Biafra around the world, they are only deceiving themselves. All the governments around the world knows about our struggle. As a result of your, you know, ability to bring to light the reality that Biafra can never be forgotten. At a time when you were arrested, it gave the Biafran people the opportunity to show the world that we actually exist. Your arrest and detention gave the opportunity for the world to know that there are people who've been underground, who have been, you know, going through different kind of difficulties. Your arrest made us, we marched all over Europe. We marched
Thank you very much. There is something, thank you very much. That is something that I want to point out following what you're just saying. Because I remember there was a time that the late Buhari and Jibril, Yemi Osinbajo in particular, contemplated engaging IPOB and having a discussion with me. I want our people to listen to this very carefully. It was the same Igbo politicians who met in Abuja, Lagos, and Enugu and decided that Osinbajo cannot engage me. Do you know what one of them said? He said, Nnamdi Kanu became pop. He said, Nnamdi Kanu is a nobody. He only became popular. Because Buhari arrested him. Do you see the way they reason? Do you see their mind? Do you see the way they think? That is what they're gossiping behind our backs. Oh, Nnamdi Kanu only became popular because of Buhari. And I sat back and I thought to myself, but you said you are all intelligent people. people are being arrested every blessed day all over the zoo. Why are they not popular? People are being detained. Why are they not popular? They forgot one very essential ingredient. That I am who I am because of IPOB and the grace of Chukwuka Abiama. That without IPOB, I am nothing. It was the grace of Elohim and IPOB that I served that made me who I am, not my arrest by Buhari. But they keep lying to themselves all the time. But I'm sure in the fullness of time, they'll realize their folly. And who knows, be able to acquire some common sense after all. Do we have any more questions, please?
Yes.
Do we have people, callers? Please take it. You look very tired. Are you tired? Because he was looking a bit tired. Maybe I need to let him go. We are here in Israel. This is Radio Biafra, a live interactive session. There was actually, I've been sent a couple of questions from people all over the world via my Facebook page. This one is being shown to me. Good evening, sir. I really appreciate your effort. What is the fate of this Ohanaeze betrayal, Southeast governors and their likes in Abuja, Lagos, when Biafra is raised? I think I've dealt with that earlier. And is there any other question? My suggestion is this, that the election coming up is an opportunity to be free. I think we'll declare war. No, we will not declare war on anybody. So somebody's asking us to declare war. Our deputy leader sent this to us via WhatsApp. Nobody's declaring any war, not at all. That is what they want to hear, and we are not declaring any war. This is a message from Raphael Oscar. Have I read it out before? Is this from Raphael Oscar in here? Can we be a friend? First of all, I'm very blessed to see the mess in the Bible. My question is, after boycott, I think I've answered that as well. After boycott, what next? This is from, I think I've also dealt with that as well. Let us take this one from Uchechukwu Ibogade. What is the plan B and modus operandi for the restoration of Biafra when the Zoom military takes over after the coup? They're planning a coup. We never knew that. A coup will be actually better for us. If it's under a military regime, it makes life a lot more easier for us. Then you have justification to go into armed struggle. That's something that people don't actually know. So, coup will be actually better. The army is not strong. You can see the type of beating they're taking from Boko Haram. Unless they're faking the whole thing so they can march down south, who knows. How possible is it for the saboteurs in Biafra land, in the name of Igbo governors, to allow the planned Israeli companies to establish their business? That's another excuse we're waiting for. We don't want to preempt anything. But if our business partners from Israel were to be hampered or stopped from carrying out their business in Biafra land, that will convince the whole world that Nigeria is not a serious place for we Biafrans to be in after all. So we know what we're doing. And we're actually praying for them to interrupt or to interfere with our planned high-tech agro establishments that we're going into very shortly. And if you will forgive me, for very obvious reasons, I will no longer delve into much detail about that, but we are hoping they stop us, because if they do, that will convince the whole world that there are a bunch of wild animals, which you know they are. The next one, please. Which one is this? They call on the phone. Can you hear me? This is Radio Biafra.
Hello, Master. Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you.
Honestly, I'm very, very much happy. I'm very much happy for what you are doing for us, honestly speaking. I'm very, very much happy.
He said the land has gone. Something is playing. Where is that coming from? Yes. I can't hear the person anymore. What's happened? He's gone, yeah? The next person, please, if you... The call on the line, can you hear me? The caller on the line, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Yes.
Good evening. My name is Emmanuel Okretopa. He's a Bokovieta. I'm calling from Cotonou, Benin Republic.
From Benin Republic?
I thank you.
Go ahead.
Yes, I thank you, my great leader. We are happy to hear from you. And the truth is that the zoo is falling. Everything they are doing, they are letting for nothing. Because they know that they have fallen. That is why they are kidnapping our people. And they have no stand in that zoo again. And they have no stand in Biafra land again. That is why they have fled. They are kidnapping our people. And we thank you very much. We are grateful to hear from you, my great leader.
Thank you.
Thank you. And God bless you. Very soon, we will achieve our help.
Ise.
On our side.
Ise.
Thank you. And God bless you.
Thank you very much, and remain blessed too. Nigeria is running a government of kidnappers and criminals. The worst part of it is that those that are invited them to do this kidnapping are Dave Umahi and Igbo governors. They now turned around and said, we are the ones planning to kidnap them. Does that make any sense to anybody? These are the sort of vultures that occupy political office in our land because they were cleverly chosen by the Fulani to serve their interest. Unbelievable. And some people will go out tomorrow and call them Igbo leaders. So sad indeed. The next caller, please. And before that, let me take this message that has been just sent to me. I'm Wiwu Chukwu Ebuka from Amaka Zudhozini Tembis. My question is this: if Biafra comes today, what will be the faith of our people scattered all over the world, especially those sold via slave trade who cannot trace their way back to Africa land again? We do exactly the same thing that the Ghanaians are doing, offer them an opportunity to come back. We know that Haiti is populated or made up of essentially Igbo slaves, or we say Igbo slaves, Igbo captives that were taken to the Caribbean as slaves in those days. And also, quote me on this. Over 50% of every black American that can trace their origin to the earliest captives from Africa is Igbo. Go and check it anywhere. They are from Biafra. One day I will give you the history of some of the settlements that we have in the coastal regions of Biafra and how they came about. Especially there is a community in Igwacha called Omo Ada Olu, the children of the only daughter. Omo Ada Olu, one day I will give you the history as well. Allow me to repeat. Most of the people sold into slavery in America from the Bight of Biafra, from across West Africa, are mainly Biafran people. And also, in Haiti especially, a sprinkling of Dahomey people in Benin Republic of today. That is certain. Everybody is free to come back. The same way you have right of return in Israel is how we are going to have right of return for anybody wishing to come to Africa. But we must make sure that we develop Biafra to an extent where it becomes attractive for people to want to return to it. We don't want a place where there will be potholes everywhere and there will be no light. So sad indeed. We don't want that at all. I don't know who is this is from. Deputy, please, can you add the name of this? Oh, the name is here. No, it's not. Say, I'm chatting from Abba. The name of the person is not here. In one of the broadcasts in December, you mentioned correctly that the cost of jealous the independence of Biafra and his friends and allies. Understandably, these friends, I assume, must include world powers and the owners those that have seats at the UN Security Council. What efforts have been made so far in that line of action? And has there been any progress scored towards that very end? Let me answer the first question first, because I asked two questions here. Yes, we are making a lot of progress, but as I said to you before, it's a very painful, difficult task, which I am not at personal liberty to, of course, elucidate live on air. What I can assure you, however, is that everything humanly possible is being done by our Directorate of State to ensure that we reach the right people. And once things begins to happen, I will announce it live on radio, but I'm not most of the people that we meet won't allow us or have not given us permission to discuss some of the issues that we've been deliberating upon behind closed doors. So I'm sure you recognize the importance of maintaining confidentiality in these very crucial matters. The second question is this. During Donald Trump's presidential campaign in 2016, he mentioned to an IPOB member, "Immigration Biafra will be possible, of course." You must understand that there are interests all over the world. And anywhere you have oil and gas, the interests of the, the big corporations supersede that of the indigenous population. That's how the world is structured. Unfortunately, had there not been the abundance of gas and oil in our land, by now we would have been free people. So the oil and gas we have is actually a curse on us, and that is why we are still being held down. But I'm sure by the time we are done with what we are doing, I'm pretty confident that the hands holding us down will let us go, and Biafra will be free. But rest assured, we're not resting. It's not a day's job. You just don't get up and Biafra comes the next day. No, not at all. But I'm sure we have made tangible progress and consistently enough for the world to recognize that we are seeking for something legitimate and that we are serious about it, not like those that have gone before us. This is Radio Biafra. I don't know if there are any more questions that have come in. Somebody's asking that we should try and address the issue of let us see, Ikechukwu. I think I've dealt with that very one from Ikechukwu. This is from Naomi. What is the best way for reference to avoid being brutalized by the Zulu military during every day going about? How we avoid it is by making sure that we don't confront them in any way, shape, or form. To understand that there are a lot of traitors. You know that during the war that lasted for 3 years, 67 to 70, and during the years of occupation to about 1975, 76, that a lot of Fulani soldiers fathered some people in our land. That is the truth. The Fulani soldiers that came raped some women, or some women perhaps due to the need to feed their family found themselves in very compromising position with some of these Hausa Fulani soldiers. And they fell pregnant and they gave birth to children. Some of them answer our names and you won't know who they are. But deep down they have, you know, Fulani blood coursing through their veins. So we have those people and they will continue to do whatever they can to undermine our efforts. They can be answering in Kechi, Onyedekachi. They may be in Lagos or in Kano or in Maiduguri, you know, with a Biafran name. But you don't know that you're dealing with an Hausa person just like Rocha Sokorocha is today. So what we need to do is to be very careful and make sure that we avoid where they are. Make sure that we conduct our conversations, especially for our officers, on social media, by which I mean, say, things like Telegram or WhatsApp, and avoid making use of the number that you run as your WhatsApp line. So little things like that can make a lot of difference. We must be very conscious. We must be very security conscious. That's from Naomi. Thank you very much. One of our very staunch supporters, I hasten to add, who is an Israeli citizen. Thank you very much for that from Naomi. Thank you very, very much. Any other thing, or do we take more calls? The time now is about 30 minutes to 10 p.m. here in the Holy Land of Israel. This is Radio Biafra, a live interactive session for the very first time in about 4 years that I'm actually doing this. Yes. Go ahead, please. The caller on Skype, can you hear me? Please turn your video down.
Yes, my director can hear you loud and clear.
Please turn your radio down, then we proceed.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Please then go ahead. Go ahead, please, with your question.
Yeah, my name is Chukwemeka Igbama. I'm from Ihiala, living here in Tanzania.
In Tanzania, thank you very much. In Tanzania, do we have an IPOB family in Tanzania? I don't think so, do we?
Right now, we don't have any IPOB. I am trying to call it.
Then start one yourself. Start one yourself. Start a family in Tanzania, and you are the coordinator. Please go ahead.
Okay, Director, my suggestion goes to the elite of Igbo land, those politicians.
They are not elite. They are not. There is nothing elitist about them. They are Fulani slaves. Which elite?
Yeah. My solution is that the reason why they keep on going to Abuja to say whatever they like and get away with it is simply because we are not doing anything. We are not doing much thing that we're supposed to be doing. Because I cannot send Hausa man that can go to Abuja and say rubbish about the Hausa people and go back to Kam and live with his two eyes closed. Those things have to stop. We have to work hard to make sure that whoever that went to Abuja to disgrace us must remain in Abuja. He should not come to Biafra land and parade himself as a politician or the leader. We people from the Biafra have to work hard. Whoever that left there and go to Abuja and say something which we don't like must remain in Abuja. We have to start with our people. Hausa is not that problem to us. It's that our people that go there and say something, that they come back working freely in our land. Those things have to stop. We have to start dealing with them one by one.
You are correct.
We don't have to fight Hausa. Hausa is very far from us.
I know. You are very, very correct, my dear brother, who is calling from Tanzania. I can't recall taking any call from Tanzania before. Or I may have. Thank you very much for the call. Let me tell you what our problem is. As soon as we rebel against one of them, you must understand. Let me explain this so that people all over the world can appreciate the very unique position, or should I say difficult position, that IPOB finds itself in. We are very competitive people. Very, very competitive. We are Republicans and we are competitive. Basically, through our actions, say what is good for the geese is also good for the gander. We want to progress, we want to improve. Let me make this very important observation about our people. We are very competitive, but at the same time, we are the easiest people to flip around. It is very easy to convert or to turn our competitive streak into one of envy, greed, and jealousy. Instead of remaining competitive, you are prone, or should I say susceptible, to jealousy. That is what happened to Igbo politicians. So they're in it together. Let's say somebody who is a senator goes to Abuja and talks rubbish as they normally do, comes back home and the person is chastised or is admonished by the people. You know what he will do? He will cry to the governor and say, please, or to his friends, or to say, oh, my Fulani godfather, I'm at your feet. Help me. Tell your people at Obinze. Let them go to this village and lay siege to it. That's what they do. That is why you have them in Abuja. There is nobody you have in Abuja, with a few exceptions, that is not there because a Fulani man put him there. Why do you think you have military barracks all over our land? You have military barracks in Asa. That is in Ngwa, in Aba. You have one in Ohafia. You have one in Enugu. You have military barracks in Abakiliki. You have military barracks in Onitsha. You have one at Obinze. So in each state, there is a Fulani barracks, so to speak. Army presence in every state we have to go and kill. And understand one other thing. When our case comes up around the world, or people want to investigate, to find out, to try and discover what is going on, do you know who they go to? They go to some of these governors and to Ohanaeze sometimes and ask, what is happening to your people? You know what they say to them? Oh, don't mind them. They're our youths. Don't mind them. We are here on the ground. And as the person is leaving, they say, oh, but this is my daughter's MCV or my son's CV. If you have any employment, we are here to serve you. You don't know that is what they do? Our people don't quite fully appreciate the mess we are in, or the mess that these traitors have put us in. You don't begin to understand what they are doing to us. Their personal interest and personal survival is the key. If not, tell me why they would not cooperate with us. Just explain it to me. I said to Nyanwode in his house, in his living room, do what you're doing and I'll do what I'm doing. That's what we agreed. Go to Abuja and get me a concession. go and get a concession for our people, for our collective interest, not for Nnamdi Kanu. If I want something for myself and my family, I will take their money from Abuja. I want something for all of us. Go and get me something that will guarantee the safety of this ancient and sacred land of Biafra. This very proud land of our ancestors. Go and get something for it. You know what they do? They go there. They market themselves as the future minister. I want to be vice president. That's all they're campaigning for. So that's the mess we're in. Umahi is doing what he's doing. Prepare to kill his own people in order to be nominated as the president. Because he knows we don't matter. In the scheme of things in the zoo, kill them. As long as I remain in power, kill them. And let me assure you, very soon, all that nonsense will stop. All that rubbish will stop, I can assure you. Do you have anybody else on the line, please? Because we'll be closing in the next 10 minutes or thereabout. Or in the next 5 minutes, should I say, or thereabout. Yes, who's on the line?
Good evening, sir, my leader.
Good evening to you.
Yeah, I remember Azumazika Collins. I'm happy this night to hear your voice, my leader.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, the zoo have tried all their best they can do to get you, but they can't get you. You remain one man squad, Mazi. You are too much. Those answering you that if they boycott election, what will be their benefit? I don't know whether they get the brain at all to answer such a question. That somebody saw what they are passing through, answering you if they boycott election, what will be their benefit? Is it easy to open the door, Jaffra? That at the time he said, if you can come out on the street and say, hey, fine, you are a religious, you cannot see tomorrow. But he had a good prison telling the Yaku Vincent that they cannot jail you. And go and tell him, he just president. But people like that cannot jail you. You are an educated man, and he has told the whole world. You are a learned man. I'm so happy this night to hear your voice. I remember the Mazumazika Collins, I'm with you. Day and night, 24 hours of the day, I have done the broadcast to boycott election 2019 in my family and in my compound.
Thank you.
Mas, I don't have much to say. I still thank you for what you are doing for us. Some people are asking me, how many did you go to Israel? I tell them it's second Jonah. He entered fish and fish carried to Israel.
Thank you very much.
People that cannot have friends. They're asking me how many. They are bubbles and monkeys. They are there watching you move. They are asking me, how many did you enter Israel? You are second Jonah, my brother. You are too much. What will happen to you?
Thank you very, very much, my dear brother. Let me answer. I want them to ask me these questions. You know, Yoruba media, if you watch their columnists, you know, when I appeared in Israel, they were writing a whole lot of junk about me. Oh, Nnamdi Kanu is a coward. He ran away. I've been waiting for somebody to ask me that question, but luckily our brother have just kind of veered towards it. All these people writing this rubbish about me being a coward, in order to kill me, you sent an entire full battalion of an army to come and storm the home of one unarmed man who is the coward. I don't have any arms. I went to their court in Abuja when Buhari was alive, and I called him a madman in his own courtroom and told him he cannot jail me. Did he jail me? Obiano said I shouldn't come to Ekulobia. We closed Ekulobia down. Umahi said I cannot come to Abakaliki. I broke 6 cordons of the military on the road and I went in to that very place. Now you understand. Now who is a coward? Who is? I said I was coming to the zoo in 2015 and I did. I went to the prison I did not break. For nearly 2 years, they held me without trial. They said, renounce Biafra. I told them to go to hell. Many times. They brought their money. I told them to go to hell. Who is a coward? I ask you. How many of you have stood up against your village, village prime minister, talk less of the army or the government of the zoo? But I did. My men said I shouldn't stay. And I remember one thing they said to me before I was evacuated, after I sustained the injury in my house. They said to me, if they kill you, they will kill IPOB. And we don't want IPOB to die. They said you must be alive. They want to kill our general so that they can set us back for very many years. That they will stay here and make sure it doesn't happen. That was how we lost 28 men defending me. Now you understand it. Me and your useless zoo, who is the coward? You came with army to fight an unarmed man. When I become armed, what are you going to do? You will run to Britain to help you, isn't it? Now we know who is a coward. Now you now understand why Yorubas propagate it. Because some of them are the real cowards. They're the real cowards. Can they stand up against the zoo, against injustice? Our dear brother Kavich Biafra have just written to us. I want proper names, please. You know how we work here. The question is, what will be the value of our currency compared to the world? The value of your currency depends on the goods and services. I don't want to go into it too much before they will say these Biafrans, they're too intelligent. Let's not give them Biafra. You know how they behave. But our currency will be floating. I hate the word. Let our productivity and our gold reserves back up the value of our currency. We will not set it. Britain tried to do that within the exchange rate mechanism and it blew up on their faces. If you wonder today why George Soros is one of the richest men in the world, it's because he bet against the pound and the British government lost against George Soros £50 billion. When they left the exchange rate mechanism, I think it was when Norman Lamont was the chancellor, I think around 1993, the currency speculators had a run because the pound was pegged against, was part of the European exchange rate mechanism, the ERM. So fixing your currency artificially or pegging it is a very bad idea. Ours shall float. It will sink or it will remain buoyant depending on our productivity because we are learned. They won't allow us to have Biafra. So we know what we're doing. Please. Who is holding? Please go ahead. Call out on Skype. Can you hear me? This is Radio Biafra.
Thank you very much, my supreme leader. This is Emmanuel Chibuzo Iwato, and I'm calling from South Africa.
From South Africa.
I want to... Go ahead. Yes. I want to say this evening that I'm so happy to hear the voice of the man the whole world is waiting today to hear from, and the man that have said it all. And everything that you said, starting from the very year that I started listening to you, till date, it has happened. So I have a very simple question that I want to ask. I remembered very well the last broadcast you did, I think, somewhere in Zoo before they tried to kill you, to take you from Ox. You said something like you have a trip plan and your plans are always... I know that this question that I'm asking now, many people have it in mind, but they don't because of something beyond their, I don't know how to put it. I want to ask, this trade plan that our leader is the one that know the three, and our deputy know to those who are so close, no one. I want to ask, in this plan, do we have anything like a way of dealing with our distractors, because some people have decided that anytime our leader, we celebrate our, in fact, we are fanatical about our leader, but some people have developed a tendency that anytime our leader is online broadcasting, you will see them, for example, somebody like IJ, or neighbor, whatever that she called herself, and others, many of them. So on these plans, do we have a way of dealing with people like this? If there is any, please, our supreme, tell us so that we can know what to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You know, people want to remain relevant. I wouldn't have thought that you would dignify in an entity by mentioning their name on this hallowed platform of Radio Biafra. We deal with issues, not with personalities. As I said to you before, we are very competitive. If people cannot be like you, they try to run you down. But that is what I feed on. People see it as a negative thing. Me, I see it as a very positive thing. The more enemies and detractors I have, the better I function. People are raising money, as I told you before. Our people are good at it. That's all what they know all their lives. From 1970 till now. The only way a Biafran can become relevant, Igbo, Efiki, Bibio, Ejoy, Ikwere, Anioma, name it, is by betraying their people. Chibika Amaechi is an example. Betrayal runs in our blood. You can say many things about the Yorubas, but believe you me, they are not as treacherous as we are as a people. That is who we are. We are competitive. They want to be like a Nnamdi Kanu, they can never be. The next thing to do is to become envious. Some people wanted to speak to my deputy in my absence, and my deputy rightly said, no, I will not speak to you because you have nothing to offer. And they decided to join the camp of the enemy. That is their business. I believe in freedom of speech. You can say whatever you like about me. I welcome it and I love it. I'm more intelligent than you, so what are you going to do about it? You keep ranting by the side and ranting all you can and dying of heart attack and heartache because you can never be like the people that run IPOB. IPOB is a global phenomenon. I said global phenomenon. The like of which we have never seen before and not likely to see ever again. People want to be part of it. If we say no to them because of their shady, questionable character, they get upset and rightly so. So allow them to brood. Allow them to vent, or should I say, ventilate their anger. On social media, that is their prerogative, that is their right. Please allow them to, because I, Nnamdi Kanu, believe in freedom of speech. No matter what somebody says, it shouldn't warrant them being hanged for it. It is only when you collude with the enemy that you become the enemy of the people. That's how it works. Allow the idiots to keep ranting and raving is their prerogative. I am a firm believer in democratic ideals, freedom of speech. Let them speak, please. The next caller, please. The caller on the phone, can you hear me?
Hello, good evening, sir.
Good evening to you.
My director, I bless you.
He said, and bless you too.
My name is Wangwo Innocent. I'm calling from Enugu.
Thank you. Wangwo Innocent. Go ahead.
My director, my question goes to our church member because I'm a Catholic and I'm also a charismatic. But all these things you have been teaching us for so long, our church leader, maybe our reverend fathers and some of our bishops, find it very difficult to believe you. Anytime if I go to church, going to worship Chukwu Abiam in the church, but at the end I will come back very sad because the church member will still pray for church God to bless Nigeria for 2019 election. I don't know, and this thing is getting too much in so many of my church members, my charismatic members. There are mentally slaves is too much on them. Please, my director, how are we going to do with these people, with this my fellow Christian brethren?
Thank you very much. Thank you for that. You keep on praying for them. You keep on praying for these people to repent and see the light, to see the truth and to embrace it. As I said before, when our Fulani people came to our land during the conquest, during the genocidal war of 67 to 70, a lot of women fell pregnant, either through rape or through acquiescence, I don't know what it is. They gave birth to a lot of people that have Hausa blood in them. You find them in your churches, because as I've said before, and I'll say it again, we are Republicans by nature. We love our freedom. Anybody against IPOB, anybody against Biafra, against the restoration that we are all pursuing, is born of an Hausa man or woman. Fulani, you are not one of us. I have said this many times and I'll keep saying it. Anybody who is against what we are doing, against this very gospel of truth and of redemption, is not and can never be part of us or one of us. As simple as that. So don't you worry yourself. Keep praying for them. One day they will turn around. And they think that Biafra will bring their business, their church business, to an end. Not at all. There will be freedom of association. You do whatever you like. That's entirely up to you. I am a libertarian. I believe in giving people freedom. I believe that people should have some set of natural, inalienable rights that the state cannot and should not encroach into. The right to freely associate, the right to freedom of speech, of religion, of belief, is entirely down to the individual. It has nothing to do with the state. So keep praying for them. One day they might turn around and do the right thing. I have somebody, a message sent. I just realized, actually, the time now is 10 past 10 here in the evening in Israel. We started around 20 past, is that correct? So make it 3 hours broadcast today. This is from Osa Asogwa Chinidu. Chinwike, good evening, my leader. My question is more like a request. It seems that Enugu and its environs are being neglected in terms of relay station. Enugu is so vulnerable to political exploits, raising more needs for Radio Biafra. Is there any plan to? Of course, we are working on it very seriously. Enugu will be covered as well as other areas of Biafra. But as I said earlier, the problem that we keep having is the issue of fueling these relay stations, because you know the zoo has no electricity, so we need to power up the plant sometimes to power up our relay stations. That could be the problem, and we'll try and resolve it. IPOB is very strong. We are very formidable. We are doing the best we can under the circumstance, and I'm absolutely certain that in no time all our relay stations will be up and running. We do ask you to try and bear with us. But if you can listen via any other platform, please try and do so. As I've said earlier, if you're residing anywhere in the Western Hemisphere, I do strongly recommend that you supply a satellite receiver to your village so that they too can listen to Radio Biafra via satellite. Very, very important indeed. Do we have any other caller on the line, please? The caller on the phone, can you hear me? No, I cannot hear anybody on the phone. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Thank you very much for calling. This is Radio Biafra, please. Go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon. My able leader, Abaze Nnamdi Kanu.
Good evening from here.
Yes. Good afternoon, fellow Biafrans all over the world. My name is Chinua Kweze. I'm calling from the city of Toronto. Can you hear me?
Toronto, live and clear. Please proceed.
All right. My name is Chinua Kweze. Like I said, I'm from Enugu Agede, Njikoka local government, Oka province of Biafra land. My leader, my heart is filled with joy that I can hear your voice once more again.
You're
speaking
kind
to you in person.
You are very kind. Thank you.
Yes, at this point in time, with the deepest humility in my heart, I offer Chukwuka Kabiama, you know, all his respect for giving us a person like you. You are a gift to mankind and a gift to Biafrans. Mazi, there is something very, very important that I want to suggest. We know that the plans, our roadmap to the restoration of our nation, Biafra, has been divinely suggested to you and given to you by Chukwuka Kabiama even before the onset of this journey. I will appeal to you to do this thing, our restoration process, the way God directs you. We don't want to put you under pressure. We don't want to make mistakes. Biafras all over the world, the only thing you owe this struggle is support. The only thing you owe this struggle is obedience. According to Obidobienu, or say, whatever you ask to do, do it. Our leader, God is behind you. and our people too are behind you. Take it in the pace that Chukwuka Abiyama wants it. Let us don't hurry over the food that we know surely we will eat. Because for some of us, we have seen the finishing line and we know that Biafra must come, no matter how anybody or no matter what anybody do about it. I want to encourage all Biafrans, especially those in Biafra land. It hurts my heart when I hear that our real estate stations are not working in Biafra land. If we can listen to our radios on our app here and we refuse, my director, give us bill for us to put real estate stations in our land so that our people can listen to the radio and get the information that you want to pass across to them. Because they are the most important people even in this struggle. They are the people that need this information. Let us ask ourselves, Biafra land, how many states? 8 or 9 states. We can cover it. There is no way if we are truthful to ourselves that we cannot tax ourselves and cover the purchase of transmitters or real estate that will cover the whole of Biafra land so that our people will get this good news before the coming of this 2019 election. Pastor, I want to stop you. May Chukwuka Abiyama in his infinite mercy continue to give you that wisdom that the whole world cannot give. Thank you, Mazi. God bless you, sir.
And you too. Thank you very, very much for that. Thank you from Toronto in Canada. We are all over the world. That is why IPOB is unique. And in fairness to this very noble family of IPOB, they have done well in the past and they will do well again. There were those of you that remained very consistent throughout the period of my absence from live broadcast. And I commend each and every one of you, and I will ask you to dig deeper. The unique thing about us is that we are not sponsored by anybody. I say it live on Radio Biafra. If you have ever sponsored Radio Biafra before, you're a billionaire, you're a millionaire, you're a politician, you're whoever, please come out and say it. Say that Nnamdi Kanu is lying because you know I don't lie. Come out and say it in the open. We fund ourselves. And I must say that this family, given where we are coming from and where we are today, this noble family all over the world has done very well. And I commend each and every one of you, and you must do more. You must do more. We need more relay stations. We need to replace the old ones. We need to take care of families. We have people who have been abducted, people who lost their loved ones in this very effort. We must take care of their families, the school fees for their children, the accommodation, their feeding, all the rest of it. We are doing all of that every blessed day. I was hoping that somebody would ask me about funding, what we do with our money. I was hoping that somebody would ask me about our defense fund because I wanted to deal with that very issue live on air so that the whole world can hear me. That's what I'm waiting for. I want the gossipers, please use a pseudonym as some of you want to do, and come and ask me very serious questions so I can answer them live on air so that the whole world can hear. Because what used to happen is this. People who never before contributed to Radio Biafra will come out and ask you questions about funding. And I ask them, please, can you show me the receipt of your own contribution, especially towards defense fund, and they don't have it. But I want you to tell them what you intend to do with the defense fund, as if it is theirs. As if I tell them where the defense fund is and the money is seized, that they will somehow refund us the money. No, they won't. They are working for the zoo. And let me also remind you what happened to our radio station, our AM radio station that is today in Abuja. I remember some of them working for the late EKD, if I may so rest in peace, badgering me and telling me, asking me to show them the transmitter that we bought. I foolishly succumbed and I showed them where this transmitter is. And lo and behold, it wasn't up to 1 week. Abuja came and carried the transmitter. That's what they want us to do. Tell me where the defense fund is. Show me, tell me. So if I tell them Abuja will go and take the money, and then they'll be jubilating, they'll be jumping up and down, say we have won. They did it to us before, they can't do it to us again. Because those people did not contribute a single dime to our defense fund. They think when they talk about money that Biafrans are so foolish and so beholden to money. When they talk about money, people will say, okay, it is true. Where is our money? And because of that, we won't contribute anymore. Do you know why they were doing that? They want to stop you from funding IPOB. That's all.
so you can be a saboteur like them. So we will collapse, or maybe I will be like Owazurike, running from one discredited politician to the other, begging for money. Do you see how they operate? That's why I want serious questions. All those gossipy questions, I want to deal with them tonight. Ask so I can, I will mention your name and then I will answer the question. Mad people. Please, who is on Skype, please? You know me, I don't have any secrets. I say everything out in the open. Who is on Skype? Your name, please, and where you're calling from. Can you hear me? The caller on Skype, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, my leader. Good evening from here.
Good evening to you. Please go ahead.
My name is Maazi Oge Friday Igiri. I'm calling from Abakaliki province of Biafra land.
It's very good. You're calling from the beautiful Abakaliki, beautiful Ebonyi.
Yeah.
Where that madman is from.
My leader, you can say that again. Ebonyi state is formidable. We are very much strongly with you and the indigenous people of Biafra in the struggle to restore our nation. And there is nothing on earth that will stop it.
Nothing can.
Chukwuka Biama is with us. The land of Ebonyi State and the people of Ebonyi State, they are solidly with you. And come February, when the election is going to be conducted, it is our assurance that election is going to be boycotted here. We have so many challenges in Ebonyi, but most of it is in Ebonyi South, where Omahi, the governor of the state, came from. The signal of our radio is not being received there.
We will take the battle to him. We are going to establish Radio Biafra there. We will take the battle to Omahi in his own village.
Please, my leader, it will please us very much that in no distant time, that the people in Ebonyi South, Natural District, have a CHK relay station to cover that environment. But the one we have in Abakaliki, the capital city of the state, is covering both Ebonyi North and Ebonyi Central, and it is very much good. It doesn't stop. I do not want to take much of time because I know there are thousands of Biafrans all over the world and lovers of freedom who are online waiting to speak. But my leader, I am very much happy to hear from you. And believe me, the people of Ebonyi State are very much proud of you and what you are doing for us. I want to say, may Chukwuka Biama bless you more and more. I so much thank Chukwuka Biama for your life. And you continue to live until Biafra is totally being restored. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor on earth. Because you are a God sent. And you must complete the work that you've been sent to come and do. Forget about all these they are ranting. We know all of them and what they can do. They will only talk and they will only try to fear our people. But Ebonyi people are not those that you can fear anyhow. We stand very strong and solidly with you. And we are going to boycott this election. Ebonyi people has risen. Our women has risen. Our elders has risen. And the truth of the matter is that they cannot buy us with money. It is true they are hungry in the land, but they are not going to buy us with money any longer. We have made up our mind to stand in the struggle to restore Biafra. And that is what we must do. Thank you very much. Chukwuka Biama bless you. To all my brethren in Abakaliki province here, I urge you to remain strong and continue to remain resolute. We must get Biafra restored, and there is nothing that will stop it. Thank you, Chukwuka Biama bless you.
Ise, thank you very much from Abakaliki. Abakaliki is strong. Do you know how I know they are strong? And Ebonyi in general. When I went to Ebonyi State, the army mounted 6 roadblocks. The video is there and I want it circulated. 6. I went into Ebonyi. I stopped in front of Dave Umahi's office. People working for him even came out to see me, despite being under the threat of a sack if they do so. the whole of Abakaliki came out to see me. Now you understand why they are jealous. They know anywhere I go to that IPUB is there. We shot everywhere down. I was in Igbo. I only went to Obibo. I didn't even go to Borough Park. Only Obibo. The hold up in Iguacha was 8 hours because of the crowd. That's why they are jealous. You can be as jealous as you like. From now till that kingdom come, you will never lead IPUB. Because if you're not pure at heart, you cannot lead IPUB. IPUB is divine. Divine. Direct from heaven. Not this very earth. I assure you. This is Radio Biafra. We must bring our program today to an end, but I can assure you that once in a while we shall hold an interactive session. I was hoping that those noisemakers and yappers will come to ask difficult questions. I'm waiting for them. Maybe I will try and organize one next time. That maybe I won't do an address. People can just phone in and ask questions, and I'll be able to answer it. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm very, very transparent and very clear. Our people are everywhere. And if they don't want us to boycott the elections, they know what to do. Very simple. Accede to our demands and we lift the ban on the boycott. If not, we boycott. As simple as that. This is Radio Biafra. I thank you all for listening. And I also thank Ikech, who has been here doing a lot of work. I also thank my deputy chairman for... and all those that have made this program this evening very possible. But above all, I thank all of you that listen from all over the world. Chukwuke Kabiam, I will bless and preserve each and every one of you. And Biafra shall be restored in his name and his name alone. Thank you very much and good night.